And with his fucking internet, he won't be calling until 8:15. We're on, by the way. We're live.
Amigo, I'm not there yet. I am on late night West Coast time, Portland.
All right, everybody. How are you guys doing? It's nice to be back.
Ain't I missed it? You guys last week, guys. I really did.
Kevin, you look like a whole new man.
Yep.
What's that?
You look like a whole new man.
What are you talking about?
Oh, look at this fucking handsome guy.
Haircut.
Yeah, you're fresh.
Yeah, fresh cut.
Kevin, Kevin looks like he's gonna go out to the Snapcase concert tonight.
What the hell is Snapcase?
It's one of them ska bands, right? Like one of them kind of like 2000s bands. No, no FX. Snapcase.
Come on, bro, you're gonna make the reference. At least fucking know what you're talking about.
No FX. I didn't know what I was talking about.
No FX. You can't. I don't know what a Snapcase is, but No FX is legendary. So if you're gonna put someone in the category of No FX, you better know what you're talking about.
Joe Soup was here, you know what I was talking about. There you go.
Snapcase was an American hardcore punk band from Buffalo, New York.
There you go.
Did they play the American Legion on Pleasant Valley Way in West Orange?
I don't know, but they had a song called Caboose.
I bet you it was about Heinies.
Matt, who's running the Mark Order page right now? Because Snapcase is not ska.
Thanks for making me look like a dick, Schlong. Dick Schlong. I thought you were my pal, Schlong.
Dick Schlong and Prosper.
Oh. I got a Mark Order podcast story.
Oh, ooh, do tell, please.
I don't know if you guys...
Is this pre-show worthy or is this show worthy?
Well...
Oh, God. Let's start the show. I'll kick it off. It's Aunt Money.
Oh! Well, fuck him anyway. I don't like him.
That makes sense because he likes hardcore music.
He's hardcore.
Experimental.
I'll tell the story when we start the show. We got Miko Maestro calling in shortly for his 27th appearance.
Yes, we eat reindeer stew.
Reindeer poop.
Yes, he said look, guys, this is the seventh time on the show. We have to talk about his wrestling career.
Interested in his wrestling career. You're always worried about his fucking reindeer stew and his poops.
You booked him as a joke for our anniversary show. Oh. He ruined the joke because you didn't tell him it was a joke.
All right, we're going to tell the story again.
He won't go away.
He's the best, though. I love him. So.
Yeah,
He said he has something to talk about, so this will be exciting. Miko Maestro tonight. We're gonna talk Cody Rhodes leaving AEW, Elimination Chamber, No Surrender. We got some new segments we're gonna try out tonight, and it's all here next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 573.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen. Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame 2013, WWE Hall of Fame as part of the Four Horsemen 2012, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
And once again, welcome back, everyone, to another live edition. We're always live now because we're all the way live of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Coming to you live on The Rant, Rant Entertainment Media, rantiumradio.com. Coming to you live on all forms of social media, including the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Twitches, and the YouTubes.
Oh, yeah.
Going with you wherever you go.
via podcast by every single podcasting platform. And tonight, once again, we are here to do the wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
KJG. What's
see,
up,
I didn't have practice last week because I wasn't here, so now I didn't know which way to point for Kevin again. And I didn't want to think that anybody...
Yeah, you're terrible. Yeah, you're terrible.
At least I didn't try to steal your gimmick tonight, so there's that.
That's true.
I'm learning.
No gimmick stealing.
No gimmicks being stolen.
So before Miko joins us, I have to tell this story. And if you want to watch the video, it's on the Mark Order podcast.
I know where you're going. Okay.
Mark Order pod.
Oh, boy.
A couple months ago, when the doctor, Danny Russ, was still part of the Mark Order, pre-Mark Order, when it was just something to do during the pandemic, we decided we were going to do the stupid one-chip challenge. You know,
this is an old video?
No. This video was shot Thursday night.
Okay. All right.
Mama
Mia. I like it.
Did see this.
So it's on the Mark Order podcast, Instagram, Mark Order Pod. We do this stupid one chip challenge, and the chip is, it blows Burner Bliss out of the fucking. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, I can't do this on an empty stomach. So I had 4 slices of pizza and 3 of these delicious margarita drinks before we did this. I ate this fucking chip. I lasted 4 whole minutes.
Yep.
Before I was like, I need, God bless Danny. He went like half an hour without drinking anything. Bro, my fucking shit was, my face was on fire, my lips. So finally, I'm like, nope, I'm out. I need some milk. So I go to the refrigerator, right? And I just start pouring myself glasses of milk.
Refrigerator.
Right? I drank 3 glasses of milk. The 4th glass, I get halfway through it, a chunk hits me in the lips.
Uh-oh.
Oh, milk's bad.
Oh, no!
I drank 3.5 glasses of sour milk, but I couldn't taste it because my face was on fire.
Wow.
What a fucking disaster.
So what happened? Was there any negative, other than your personal distress, was there any negative outcome from the drinking the spoiled milk?
No. I don't think the spoiled milk affected me. The chip was so hot, I couldn't tell it was sour, right?
Right.
Like, I couldn't taste anything. I was just like, I got to drink this milk to make it go away. And it wasn't
I think if I was drinking that glass and that chunk hit me, that would have been it. Reversal of fortune.
I was like, I can't throw up. I can't throw up in the sink. Because it wasn't just, I had 4 slices of pizza in me. Like, it would have been a fucking mess. And you know what? If it burned when I ate it, coming back up, it would have been 1,000 times worse.
Oh, you would have been dead. You would have had to go to the hospital.
I feel like you kind of have to do it though.
Throw up?
Like, yeah, because in the long run, it's better to throw up than to deal with whatever you're going through.
You know what, Kevin's on to something there, because
it sucks for, like, as an experienced drinker, I've had my fair share of throwing up, like, on purpose just to feel better. So like, it hurts in that moment, but you would have felt a ton better if you had just done it.
Yeah, well, but Kev, the difference here is, though, he's got the hot shit on top of everything else. And like that, once that shit starts percolating.
Nah. I disagree with that theory. I don't think throwing up hot stuff is hot coming back up. Just like throwing up cold stuff is cold coming back up. It's in you. It is what it is.
No.
Processed.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
The chip was Carolina Reaper and Ghost Pepper. I was not having a good time. It took me about 15 minutes, right? At one point, I had to go out on the sun porch and just sit on the couch. Well, then I was good. But then 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday, my stomach was nodding. It was mad at me. But I didn't shit my pants. I didn't have to go shit. It just hurt. But then Friday, I was good. I had no, there was no ramifications.
Well, here's a note. Here's a note about how silly you are, Aunt Money. They put the chip on a napkin for you, and then you grabbed it with your bare hands to eat it anyway. What's wrong with you?
I will do anything to entertain. I am an entertainer.
That's true. Yeah, you are the talent.
But here's the thing. Friend Jamie Miller said, if there was a song that would describe you, it's Billy Joel's "The Entertainer."
I knew this was a bad idea, and I got nervous. And my chip was broken, and I wanted to make sure I ate the whole It was a fucking disaster.
How many beers in were you when you did this?
I only had like two margaritas, three margaritas. I was good. I was sober as a fucking post.
And four slices of pizza. How's that DDP yoga treating you?
Bro, I fucked up my back last week, so I didn't do yoga all week. Today was the first day I did yoga in a week.
Four slices of pizza and a hot potato chip?
I was hungry, man. I was hungry. Miko, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Fucking Miko!
And Miko's, let it be known that this is the first time in the 17,000 times that Miko's been on the show that his internet is actually working tonight. This is amazing.
Yeah, I thought about it, you know. Yeah.
Now, I got to ask you right off the bat. First of all, I appreciate you reading my letters to all your Twitter followers. What other kind of mail have you been getting lately? It seems like your legit mailbox has been getting filled with letters and notes and postcards from fans. I mean, what's happening?
Oh, yeah. Let's get straight to the business. So, yeah, it seems like the whole world keeps mailing me, and it's all about the same subject. And if people think that I suck and they think I should wrestle this. Apparently, yeah. And on top of all, I wrestle this guy. They also, apparently, I pronounce his name incorrectly. So I think he's called Tombstone Jesus. Jesus, I think. Yeah. I got feedback that I can't pronounce his name. So yeah. Here, Mr. Jesus, if you have Wi-Fi in Utah and you're watching, yes, you're welcome. I corrected my mistake.
Very popular luchador, Tombstone.
Oh, yes. So, but the thing about that, so I tweeted about him actually earlier this year that my goal for this year is to wrestle this guy because I heard about him in your podcast actually, and I looked him up. I had not heard about Mr. Jesus before.
No.
And I was surprised because he's a talent. You know, he has the moves and he has the looks. People who haven't seen him, he looks kind of like Santa Claus on steroids. So, by the way, are you guys still sponsored by Manscaped? Because you know you could make a fur coat out of his chest hair. You know, it's he could need some products like that.
I wish, because my Manscaped razor broke, so I need a new one.
Oh, damn it! Yeah. Maybe we'll get it back now. Maybe we'll get Mr. Jesus here to advertise the products. You can do a full 3-hour video shaving his chest. You know, it might take a while. Anyways, the thing is that he apparently saw my post and he posted a video about it. And I was pretty excited. I was like, oh, that's great. He responded, let's see. And what a disappointment. What a class act. So here's this guy. You know, I immigrated to the United States a couple of years ago. And I thought I respect the culture over here. And I thought it's like two-way street. But apparently not. You know, all Mr. Jesus did that he was just talking, I don't know the word to say it, but like talking trash about this national food, tuna pizza. It's an excellent pizza topic in case you haven't tried it. And if you ever go to Manskum Pizza Kebab, I gladly encourage you to order it. So, so I was very, very disappointed. Because in my videos, I never talk bad about apple pies, you know? But he's just shooting at me, just straight shooting. You know, I was insulted. So now it's on. Now I tell you, like, on my third episode, I started losing it myself. You know, my mailbox, there's probably like 12 letters, and it's just tombstone this and tombstone that, you know. Everybody wants me to face this guy. Let's announce it right now. 2022 at Jersey Shore, at Matt Bowman Spring Break, we're going to have the first ever tuna pizza on a pole match at the main event. Miko Maestro against Mr. Jesus. Special guest referee, the shiniest of wizards, Kevin. And in my corner, we will have Miko Money Maestro with my corner man, Millionaire Matt himself. And Tony, Tuna Tony, you can be on Tombstone's corner. He's your favorite wrestler. You know, you love him to death. You're his only fan.
Bring it on, brother.
Yeah.
Yo, we floated around the idea of like doing our own show. This is the show that we need to do.
Oh, this is the main event, no doubt.
Yeah.
By the way, for sure. Quick plug, if you're ever in Helsinki, it's Manskun Pizza Kebab. It's at 130 Mannerheimenite. The phone number there is 09241-0600. Make sure you dial the Finland, and the website, if you need it, is manskunpizza.fi. Go buy a tuna pizza from them and support Miko and his people.
Yeah, believe it or not, you can find it anywhere, man. It's good stuff, you know. It's a very popular product in Finland. In States,
yeah, but that's,
you know,
but that's you, but that's your pizzeria, like that's your stomping ground.
Yeah,
yeah,
so yeah. I
wanna, when people go to Helsinki, I want them to have the authentic Mikko Maestro experience. That's why
exactly.
I'm in school.
If you don't think I'm not going to put a wrestling ring on my front yard, I would 1,000% do that. I also have the football field across the street. I don't know what kind of hoops we would need to jump through for that, but
My hooks run deep in Morris County. We're good.
Oh yeah, dude, we could put this together, no doubt. We could absolutely.
Yeah,
put
sounds
this
great.
Together.
So for you guys, if you cover my travel, I'll kick this guy's ass for free. And when it comes to Mr. Jesus, I'm pretty sure last time I checked, his fees were a pair of Budweiser slippers and a bottle of Jack Daniels. So I'm sure you can afford getting him. You know, he'll probably walk to the venue. You know, yeah.
Wow, Miko's got a fucking meat streak.
I love it.
I like it.
He started it, man. He went personal. Man, you know, this guy.
We don't like to start trouble, but if we can create magic, I think you versus Tombstone Jesus is magic.
If you want to get under his skin, talk about his shitty kid and his shitty fucking suit.
Yeah.
Otto von Dickbag.
Yeah. Now that's a shoot.
See, that's why Matt's gonna be on my corner. That's my man over there.
Yeah.
Money Maestro and Millionaire Matt.
There you go. And I'll stay neutral as the ref. I have to be neutral. I love you both.
Yeah.
When did this Money Maestro thing start? Is this new?
Oh yeah, it started today. You know, because you were the Millionaire Matt, you know, I was thinking like how we can, you know, combine, you know, because I'm money. You know, you know I'm money. Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't have Euros, you on the podcast 18
dollars.
Times if you weren't. I said we wouldn't have you on the podcast 18 times if you weren't money.
What's the what do you call your weird red money in Finland? You could be like Zongbok Maestro.
We use squirrel, you know, squirrel skin.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it was more like 300 years ago, but apparently that was the first currency in Finland
before Euros came. I'm an idiot. It's a euro, so never mind. Someone's going to tell me I'm an idiot in the chat.
Nope, squirrel skin.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hey, I have to ask, so is it Jesus or Jesus? Is that Jesus like from the Bible?
Yes.
Not the Bible that you would probably read or any normal human being, but he's from some kind of Bible.
Yeah.
No, I see. Jesus. Okay. Okay, let's cut the promo here. All right. Okay, Matt, keep the recording, put it on.
No, so we're going to turn it off.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Okay. So, Mr. Tombstone Jesus, if that is your real name, you've been sitting on your corner, tumbling your Bible, and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Well, Tuna Finch 3:16 says, I taste real roots on pizza. So I'll see you and your no good son in the Matt Bowman Spring Break 2022. We're coming for you. Ha, Matt, what are you going to say?
Easy with the fucking, my name, bro. Kayfabe.
I love
it. Cover your name, Mikko. What are you doing?
Dude, Tuna Fish Pizza 3:16 needs to be a shirt.
Actually, you know what? It's okay because there is a real, there's a professional wrestler on the East Coast who shares the same name as me. And at least once a week, I guess somebody sends me a message thinking I'm him. So go nuts, brother.
Dude, Tuna Fish 360.
This is what I have to say. Tombstone Jesus, you bring your heavy metal, your mountain rock, your pussy ass kid. Bring him to New Jersey. Euro Maestro and Millionaire Matt. We're cleaning up. We're taking you to the fucking bank, brother. You're going to go back to Utah. That shithole.
What?
Don't be fooled by the
picture. I'm sorry, Matt. Matt, I think it's pronounced Salt Lake Shitty.
Oh, you can't trust those Mormons out there. Those Mormons are weird. They'll blow up the fucking church. They'll blow up the car. Don't trust those people. We'll send you back with your fucking cut-off jeans. You're looking like Joe Bowman with your cut-off jean shorts. All right? And your fucking Budweiser. Get out of here. You're out. You're done. Mikko Maestro, Millionaire Matt, the fucking Finnish American Express. We're coming out.
Yo, I think I don't even know if I want to be the referee anymore. I feel like we're on the precipice of a new NWO here.
Here's the thing, right?
I feel like all can be involved in this together.
I feel like a fraud because I like Tombstone Jesus. I don't know how I became. I don't know. I don't have to choose. I like Miko too. Why do I have to choose?
That's a good point.
Wait, you're turning on me already? You're supposed to do this turn in the show. Now we spoiled the ending for everybody. Damn it, Matt.
No, terrible. I don't know why I'm cutting a promo. I don't like his kid. His kid's a shithead.
Hey, you here's the other problem. Matt doesn't have ring experience. I have ring experience. So if there's any funny business, I could jump in there and give Tombstone the hot tag. And then you got to deal with me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Wait, are you teasing that you're going to dust off the experiment gimmick?
I'm just saying, if Tombstone needs somebody to watch his back, he doesn't have to go too far. That's all I'm saying.
I see.
This is not what you had in mind, did you, Mika?
Well, this is a Mika podcast.
This escalated really fast. How long? We've been recording for 20 minutes. I'm all fired up. You could boil. I mean, we Finnish people, we don't really show emotion. So this is a lot, you know. You know, if you ever go to Finland, they are like, but right now, you could fry an egg on my forehead.
You're that mad. You don't look mad.
Yes. That's funny. No. I try to. It's inappropriate to show emotion in my culture. So,
is that a fact?
So I take a deep breath and I say, Tony, I'm going to make you and Tombstone Jesus eat two large-sized tuna pizzas when I go up to the pole, up to the first rope, second rope, top rope, and I'll grab the pizza and stuff it all down your throat with that one potato chip with that ghost pepper on it from Matt's special bag. And then we'll see who's the last man standing.
I've had a lot already out of Matt's special bag.
Yeah, it's Matt's new to special. Me. We got a name of the show. Matt's special bag.
Matt's. Let me write that down.
I'm writing it down right now.
Matt's special bag. Nothing. Miko, you're the freaking best. Man.
And his delivery was perfect too. Matt's special bag.
Matt's special bag.
Miko, how do you know you can trust me?
Oh.
Great question. Matt's a tweener.
Like, what if what if it's all about me? What if I'm like Raven? It's all about me. What if I turn on you and Tombstone Jesus?
And go into business for yourself?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Get Manny Lemons to be on your team?
Team up with his shitty kid.
Manny Lemons and Larry Lime, Gary Graves, and whatever great wrestlers we have on Yuda.
Carrie Carrots.
Look, those are some fine people down in Devotion Championship Wrestling. I'm not going to knock any of those guys. Those guys are all right.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Bunch of vegetables and fruit.
Paul Plums.
This is what you've been up to, Miko. First of all, why would you give Tony your address to send you mail? Secondly, I appreciate the fact that you wear the Shining Wizards t-shirt in all these videos.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so here's the thing. Actually, I didn't want to give Tony my address, but when he sent me a t-shirt, he ended up, sliding himself into there on my circle of trust, you see. And apparently it was a mistake. Yeah.
I mean, I could have told you that before you sent the t-shirt.
Yeah, but it's a good shirt, though. I mean, as you can see on the video, and you can buy them from Pro Wrestling Tees if you want to have your own. Am I correct?
Yes, but we're not here to promote us. We're here.
Wait a minute. There's actually a flash sale going on as we speak for President's Day. 15% off Miko Maestro shirts and Shining Wizard shirts. Go get them.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, but what is President's Day? We don't celebrate that in Finland. So,
we used to celebrate George Washington's birthday, who was the first president, and we celebrate, and a great general, by the way. And, the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, we celebrated his birthday. And then eventually they got tired of giving everybody 2 days for holidays. And they said, let's just make it President's Day. Well, so that's kind of where it came from.
I think President's Day is actually a celebratory event for all of past.
Yeah, but that's where it came from. It was originally we celebrated Washington and Lincoln's birthday.
Yes. And this is recent, though, because I used to have both Lincoln and Washington's birthday and President's Day off. So Lincoln and President's Day were a thing at the same time.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Sorry. That I'm drinking my elementary Hackensack lager tonight. It's a little gaseous.
So I had today off, but I no longer have Lincoln's birthday off, I don't think.
Womp womp.
No, what a shame.
Yeah, well, yeah. You really just walk around and grab people by their pussies. That's what it's all about.
Whoa, come on now.
What, he was the president? He got a day, and we all had to fucking honor that dickbag.
Wait,
ooh, what the one clutch?
No, fucking Donald Trump.
Baron von Raschke?
Yes, Baron von Raschke was known for the pussy claw.
I see.
Oh, boy.
That's all you need to know.
Miko, since Finnish Independence Day, what have you been up to? You've been out there working, wrestling, and that. I saw some. Look, I gotta ask. So I saw on your Twitter at Miko Maestro, you're doing a. It looks like you're doing a promo outside. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is not. Portland is not warm this time of year.
No, it ain't. So, yeah, that's a local soccer team that. Have been coming to show support me and they ask, you know, hey, Mr. Maestro, if you could give us a shout out on social media. And I was like, yeah, I'm up for supporting local. So that's the thing, you know, I had a show last night, so I was still on my gear. I think it would look great on the video, but we couldn't be indoors, you know, because the crowd knows and whatever. So we had to go outside and yeah. But I mean, it's not too bad compared to Finland, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, it's not that cold. But that is correct, yes. So, Derry City FC, I hope you'll do well on your futsal season. And thank you for the support.
Is there any alternative plans to you challenging Tombstone Jesus perhaps in your neck of the woods?
Oh, here in Helsinki?
No, you're not.
Yeah.
What? This is not an international call, is it? Because if it is, this is costing us money.
No, I'm in Pacific Northwest. But I was thinking, like, if you could... world famous Manskun Pizza Kebab to sponsor the event, you know, then we could probably book in like a nice ice hockey hall, you know.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Utah is close to Oregon.
I've been there once. I think it's like a 10-hour drive or so. It's been a while, so yeah.
No, let's go back. I think maybe we can get your good friend Starbuck to get the hookup back in Helsinki. And we could get Menskun Pizza to sponsor it. There's your tuna pizza on a pole match. I'm sure Tombstone Jesus would love having a couple of beers with some Finnish fellas. Come on, man.
Why does he have to be on a pole?
Yeah, I don't know. Does he have a passport? I don't think he can read or write, so it might be hard for him to fill up the application. But
he's Tombstone Jesus, bro. He can go wherever he wants. That's
funny. He can walk through the water, you know, just over the ocean. All the way
that's
to Finland.
It.
Look, between me and you, I don't think he can enter Canada because he probably has a criminal record.
Oh, come on.
Dude, you don't look like Tombstone Jesus. Play mountain metal and be like a fucking... He's probably like... At some point, he was running meth or heroin, allegedly.
Oh, God. Hey, come on, dude.
What?
I don't like this at all, bro. Tombstone Jesus has never done anything to you.
Tony.
For all legal purposes, Matt said may allegedly. Have... Allegedly, could have, didn't confirm any of it. So
I don't.
Matt, you're
wow, man.
Legally, a thing.
Look, he just does not look like he's helping grandmothers cross the street. All right, looks
he's
like,
a nice guy.
He's a
dude,
very nice
he's,
guy.
Tombs, his name is Jesus, for God's sake.
Yeah, but that's before he drinks a 12-pack of Budweiser's.
He doesn't
whole,
drink.
He's sober.
Do you not pay attention to anything that we talk to our guests about?
Don't ruin the image I have. I have made this. When Tombstone Jesus is done with us, right? He talks to us. He's going to eat his fucking ribeye steak and his potato. He's going to run for 17 hours, PCO style. Homeboy goes down to the bar, the biker bar. He's railing just things all over. He's at the bar. He don't care. He's taking his wang out. He's smashing things at the bar. He's just doing shots. He's
why does he have to take his wang out? Like, I don't understand.
How else do you have sex, Tony?
What are you talking? Dude, it's Jesus.
Yeah, he smashes things all over Utah.
Wow. Oh, boy.
And this Miko's over here. He's going to call him out. This is, I would love
to. I think I should have talked with Matt before I opened my big mouth, apparently. You know?
This is just it's the image in my head.
Yeah, but so today's the President's Day. So next Monday is the Vice President's Day. Maybe you could have a Tombstone Jesus as your guest, and you can ask his opinion about it.
This is how great Miko Maestro is. He books himself, and now he's booking other guests for us.
No. Hey, listen.
No, the show is booked next week already.
I love Miko.
Miko, what size underwear do you wear to hold those fucking big balls of yours?
I don't wear underwear.
Yeah. I know, I've seen your matches. Motherfucker's got an eggplant to fucking go back to Finland with.
Oh, easy over. Jesus, easy, man.
Oh, easy? I'm talking about the man's fucking prowess, and that's easy? Come on.
So wait, Tombstone Jesus responded to you?
On the video?
Like, is this going to happen? Now, obviously... You can't just tell me you're having a wrestling match at my house. I have to prepare for this, Miko.
Yeah, he's got to tell his wife.
So I'm not going to have a wife.
Okay, let's see. Here's the last thing I heard from Mr. Hesu. 23 hours ago, this needs to happen. Fist, fire, fist 100. Whatever that rest of it means, I don't know, something biblical, I guess. I don't know.
That means he likes you.
Wait, feast or fist?
Fist.
Well, I hope Tombstone, he doesn't watch this podcast.
Tombstone
might not like me anymore.
He loves the powerful emojis when he's messaging back and forth. I know that. So he's all about it, bro. We got to make this happen. We got to figure this out. I was actually looking for flights to Salt Lake City, to be honest with you, because I mean, if you were traveling, why to not miss the fucking match of a lifetime? Come on,
a lifetime, yes. There is a great promotion over there called Devotion Champions Wrestling. You know, in Salt Lake City, maybe we could do it over there. But I think you have to contact Bruno Broccoli or whoever is booking it right now.
Manny Lemons.
It's 9/11. There you go.
Gary Grapes.
Lots of bananas.
I don't even. What the fuck is going on here? Okay.
So just for the record, all of you haven't seen Manny Lemons is an excellent talent from Utah and probably running this promotion. Very high quality production. Devotion Japanese Wrestling. We joke around a lot in this podcast, but if you ever have a chance, if you're ever around Salt Lake City, I'd highly recommend going watching it, or you can see Manny Lemons. He's on Impact Wrestling, Ohio Valley Wrestling. He's all over the place. Excellent talent. Not as good as me, not as good as Tombstone Jesus or Jesus or Gary Grapes, but he's like a top four. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, and you can catch Devotion on Fight TV for free every week. Good stuff.
Yeah. Excellent. Yes. Excellent.
I think Motzbach puts it best. Hogan versus Andre ain't got shit on Tombstone versus Miko. Truer words have never been spoken on this show, and this show's been going on for a long time.
I really thought you were going to come on to announce you versus Tombstone Jesus, but this is...
Now you're just... Wait, all the shit you were talking, now you're disappointed? Are you serious?
I thought it was going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen. We're going to go coast to coast. We do one in Utah and the rematch of a lifetime on the spring break. Jerry Shore, Matt's Basement Wrestling Federation.
Can't wrestle in my basement, bro. I can barely walk down there.
Oh, I see.
The roof, the ceiling's low.
That's all right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. What's the host of backyard wrestling? Like front yard wrestling? Yes. Apartment building wrestling? Whatever. Yeah, something like that. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, apartment building wrestling is something a little different, Miko. You might have to do some research on that.
No, don't.
Yeah. English is my second language, but yes.
Don't worry, we'll learn you.
Yeah, it's. I'm very, very excited about this. Hopefully it happens rather sooner than later. And it's going to be a good one. I mean, as you can all see from my face, I'm furious. I'm just boiling hot right now. I might be smiling just to cover it up, but oh boy, Yeah. Just to, so one thing I like to mention, last week we had Valentine's Day, and in Finland we do not celebrate Valentine's Day. We have instead this thing called Friends Day. So every February 14th, you celebrate all the friendship of your life. It's just general, nothing romantic, just friendships. And I did not celebrate my friendship with Tom Stone Jesus because that friendship died the second he posted the video on Twitter. Yes. Wow. As you can see, Furious, the flame in my eyes. Deep breath.
This is so...
Friendship has sunk.
What else have you been up to, Mikko? How's the new year treating you?
Oh, I've been actually real busy. It's been really good. Really good. Maybe sometimes, kind of tiring, you know, just being so busy. But no, it's been great. You know, still training every week, wrestling every week. Besides, unfortunately, I got COVID. Not right now. I recovered from it, but I had to take a couple of weeks break. But since like mid-January, I've been doing shows, I think, every weekend nonstop. Besides then I had COVID, been training every week, once or twice a week, going to the gym. It's just good. It's been great. There's been shows, actually. This new venue over here, BCW runs shows there. It's in a walking distance from my house, so I don't have to drive there, which is great. You know, you can save on the gas money. And yeah, no, it's been really good. So I don't know if I mentioned to you guys before, I'm doing the Chip and Dale entrance on the shows when people put money, you know, on my tights. So it's getting over. And I upped my rates. People are putting $5 bills now, starting yesterday. So I'm really, I'm getting there. Yeah.
You know how to do it. You know how to make a buck, Mikko.
Yeah. No, but couldn't be happier. Getting in the shape of my life, you know, not yet, but I'm getting, because during the pandemic, I was doing the home workouts, but it's not the same. You know, you got to lift heavy weights, to look like Otto von Klatsch, you know, but yeah.
That's right.
Otto von Klatsch doesn't lift shit, just so you know. That fucking flabby piece of shit.
First of all, I don't know why you're so mad about him.
I'll tell you. You want to know why, Mikko? Sure. I'll tell you why. We booked him to be on the show, and he couldn't take a goddamn joke on Twitter, and he fucking blocked us, and then he was like, I ain't doing your show because you're unprofessional. I was just trying to get your shitty fucking gimmick over, asshole. How do you like them apples?
Wow.
You know what, Tony? Tony, I support Matt on this.
Fucking hand job. Take yourself so seriously. You wrestle in fucking Utah, and you wear a goddamn fucking surfer outfit like the fucking Sandman in 1993. Go fuck your hand, Otto von Dicksnot.
Yeah, Mikko, we've been doing this a long time. For someone to do that to us, we don't need him.
Mikko, they say time heals all wounds, but apparently not enough time has passed for Matt and Kevin.
I'm not as angry as Matt is, but I support him in his cause about this.
See how he walked it back, Mikko?
No. I stand by. If Matt wanted to die on the hill, I'd be right there with him on this hill.
You're watching him die.
Maybe.
The Mark Order podcast is right. Tombstone Hey Zeus is in big trouble.
He's going to have a Z shaved at the side of his head.
No, and his chest hair.
And his chest hair. After Manscaped.
God damn, pal.
Yeah, I feel like last time I heard Otto's name, I think I was booked in Hood Slam or Super Beast running shows in Las Vegas. And those are all really good people. So I doubt that if anybody's working, on those promotions, that I guess it can't be that bad. But then again, if your dad is Mr. Tombstone, I guess the apple doesn't fall, you know, far from the tree. So, yeah, I don't know.
There you go.
I love me some Tombstone Jesus. Grant, you should watch his early CMLL stuff. He's he's incredible. His AAA stuff as Tombstone Jesus is incredible. Just saying.
That was I see.
Yeah, it was a
Well, Mikko, this has been riveting. I can't believe you called him out.
And you're in his corner.
You could DM me, bro. You could let me know what's up. I could really, I would have fucking, had dollar glasses from the dollar store. I would have really, I was sold
over
the dollar
store. Don't worry, Matt. I'll be on your podcast, in next 2 weeks or so, Check the calendar. I already marked it on your calendar. You'll find it there.
First of all, it's not my podcast. It's our podcast. Secondly, Cal, we're booked, bro. We're booked for
Miko, Matt does a show. Matt also does a show on Wednesdays called the Mark Order Podcast.
Yes, you should get booked on that.
Absolutely, 100%. Just pretend. Just tell them you want to talk about AEW, and then just talk about whatever you want. That's pretty much what they do. So
we don't do guests on Wednesday night. No. Sorry.
Dude, you're going to tell me that nobody else that you do that show with would want to talk to Miko Maestro? You're out of your mind.
We're pretty sure at this moment, nobody else from that show wants to talk to me right now. So.
Oh, you? Well, you's a different story.
We're booking guests for Matt's podcast.
Also, not my podcast. It's our podcast.
Well, for now, it's part of your podcast.
It's not about me.
It was about you. It's all about Raven. It's all about Matt.
All about no. If that's
it's all about Miko, he's booking himself on everything.
Let's do it. I support that initiative.
Miko, I really hope, brother, next time we talk, we got this thing all squared away and in the bag, and it's gonna be you against Tombstone, because I can't fucking wait. And if you need me in somebody's corner, I don't care who it is, I will be there.
You don't care whose corner you're in.
I don't care. I'll be like Miss Elizabeth. I'll be in a neutral corner. Miko but hits the ropes. Miko hits the ropes, I'll grab his leg. Tombstone hits the ropes, I'll grab his leg too. I don't give a shit.
That's Miss Elizabeth cared. That's why she was in a neutral corner.
She didn't care. She just didn't want to get felt up by the crowd at WrestleMania 4, and Pat Patterson had to protect her of all people.
But hey, but I gotta say, the interesting thing about this, as you, how would I call you, smart listeners would say, feud that we have going on, beef. What's the slang word that kids use nowadays? Between me and Tombstone, it's kind of interesting because it started in social media and we don't know where it's going. You know, like we don't have venue. I mean, I think for me, it's like any time, any place, you know. So he might be knocking on my door right about now. I mean, no, not now. I mean, it's like, what, 10-hour drive from Utah. So I'm good. I can stretch out a little bit, take a nap, and then stream it live. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure we could take this on the road. I'd love to do more rounds with him. I'm going to win each and every one of the matches, so it's kind of boring. But, you know, we can watch him eating a bunch of tuna pizzas, you know. We can have a large one. We can have Domino's sponsor. Yeah. So, but also, I want to say, I got to get going soon because I got to take my dog to vet. She needs her shots.
Okay.
So, but I'm saying, Matt, you know, if you consider running a show in your neighborhood, maybe the spring break gimmick, maybe Matt's magic bag. There's a lot of good stuff we have, a lot of good ideas. So I was thinking maybe we could do like a Ludwig Borga Memorial Battle Royale. So if you have like extra 5K to spare to get this giant statue of Ludwig Borga, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. All right, Miko, goodbye.
I will talk to the wife about this giant Ludwig Borga statue we're going to put on our front yard. You know, you can DM me before, you know, you start throwing all these accusations out here, like there's going to be a wrestling show at my house and you're coming out to the East Coast. You know, this is a little heads up would have been nice, Miko.
Oh, I thought you were on the same level. You know, like somebody's sending this message to my brain. I thought it was you. I don't know. There's something sketchy going on. Maybe it was Tony.
No, it's Matt.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely Matt.
Oh, I see.
Well, make sure you're following Miko on social media at Miko Maestro on Twitter, Miko.Maestro on Instagram, to follow this riveting feud, this Andre Hogan level feud. We're patiently waiting. I keep updating the Twitter here to see if there's been any contact with Tombstone Jesus. I haven't seen anything yet, but hopefully things get back to him, and I hope his shitty son sees it too. Because I would definitely, if we want to do like an undercard, like me versus Otto von Shitpants in like a MMA fight, you know, I mean, I don't know fuck all about MMA, but I think I could beat the fuck out of him. Jesus. So, I mean, I'll try. It'll be entertaining. Again, I do it for the people.
That's right.
I give the people what they want.
Yeah.
All right. For years, I've been calling out Bobby Lashley. Do I really think I could hang with Bobby Lashley?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you believe that shit.
He ducked you.
You believe that hype. It'll be funny as fuck if he catches me and beats my ass, though, for a couple minutes, right?
God, I don't want you to die, Matt. Like, I really
don't. Well, we got to, you know, we got to go behind the scenes. You make a deal. You know, just don't kill me.
Gotcha. Jeez, okay, bro. Jeez.
Can it really be worse than the one chip challenge? You know, sour milk. I don't know. You've been there, man. Yeah.
You're pretty much.
I'm sure you can take Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream, Miko. Miko, before we let you run, anything you want to leave the fans with?
Yeah. So anyone who wants to, how would you say it? Throw some fluid on this gasoline flame we have going on between Mr. Jesus, Jesus, Johnson, Manny Lemons, whatever you want to call him, whatever he's called these days, dad of Ottoman clutch, Finnish national enemy number one. So anyway, please like, comment, and share the Maestro's mailbox. So far, I don't know if I'll be making more episodes. Seems like the mail is very one-sided. So, so as long as Tony keeps mailing me, I guess I might as well read them out loud for the world. You know, you can share his wisdoms. And Matt, yes, I got your letter too. Unfortunately, we cannot. I should put it here live. I think this is the high quality podcasting platform where I could have read that vulgar mail that I got. And Kevin, if you want to send your mail, ask Tony for my address. Tony, please don't tweet it online. So,
wait, you guys are both sending him mail?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Like letters?
Yeah.
All right.
Like handwritten, old school. I got stamps for days.
I mean, I will if he gives me his address. I'll send him snail mail. I don't give a shit.
Oh, you did? Oh, so he's lying. He said that you did too.
What? Why are we shattering kayfabe by the second on this?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't have his address. Tony's been sending him mail.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Did he send mail pretending to be me? Probably, because Tony's a ghoul.
That's right.
Or he wants to be me. Also, don't say fluid on the fire. You want to put fuel on the fire.
Fuel.
Like if you put in your car. Petrol.
So, all your listeners, if you want to put some petrol on this dumpster fire, this fuel of the year.
Yes, it is a dumpster fire.
This fuel that's going to take us all the way from Salt Lake City to Matt's front yard. This is not backyard wrestling, no, whatsoever. Front yard wrestling. First ever Ludwig Borga Memorial Battle Royale.
Gosh.
Okay, guys.
I don't know. He wasn't a good guy. So, anyway, bye, Miko.
Miko, okay, always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you for having me. Okay, bye.
Be well, Miko. Miko Maestro, follow him on social media.
I'm sorry, one more thing. So, Kevin, you might not be up to date what's going on. Please feel free to check out Maestro's Mailbox episodes 1, 2, 3. It's pretty much as exciting as the original Star Wars trilogy. So I highly recommend it. High quality production brought to you by Shining Wizards Podcast.
Oh, we're a sponsor, I guess. All right. There you go.
We dabble. All we like to support the community.
Love you, Miko.
All Miko, guys, you're the best, brother. Take care.
Miko, have a great night. At Miko Maestro on Twitter, Miko.Maestro on Instagram, ProWrestlingTees.com/Miko Maestro. Grab a shirt. Give him a follow. Tweet at him and at Tombstone Jesus. Let him know you want to see that match.
That's right.
Yeah. And, tell at Tombstone Jesus everything that Miko's been saying about him. Let's throw some petrol on this dumpster fire.
Yeah. Let's throw some cream cheese on this fire. Let's do it.
I don't think they use petrol. I mean, doesn't most of Europe use diesel? Isn't diesel still the thing?
Like Big Daddy Cool?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's throw some Kevin Nash on this fire.
Yes. Or throw some of
Scott. Take care.
Yeah, get out of here. Go.
Still here? Bye, get Miko. The hell out of here.
Why are you still here, Miko? Go.
he was trying to reach our receptionist to book his next appearance.
That's right. The payroll hasn't.
He fucking shanghaied me, man. I had no idea. He wants me to be in his. He didn't even ask me.
That's a good point.
To be in his corner?
Yeah, man. Why is he got to make? I like Tombstone Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
he sandbagged you.
Yeah.
He really did. He didn't even tell me.
Well, he already knew that I was on Team Tombstone, so he had to grab at the next best thing. So your straw got pulled, buddy.
Yeah, but I didn't agree to that. I don't understand. He fucking sends me DMs about nonsensical bullshit. Why couldn't he be like, hey, I want you in my corner? He didn't even ask.
Kev, you know what I'm waiting for? Waiting for the Miko and Matt double noggin knocker from Tombstone.
Ooh.
Watching Matt fly off the apron after he gets his head clonked together with the Finnish phenom.
Listen, there's money in that. There's millions in that. Millionaire Fuck, Matt and Millionaire Miko and Money Miko. Miko, whatever his name is.
Heads up,
Money Miko. Money Miko.
Heads up would have been. Is that too much for a guy to ask for?
No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, kind of.
No, it's not, Tony. Listen,
wrestling moves fast, bro. You got to be ready.
Yeah, but if the guy trusts you enough to be in his corner, he should trust you enough to ask you ahead of time and not completely sandbag him on live radio in front of millions of people.
See, you think it's sandbagging. I consider it a live opportunity. That's an opportunity of a millennium or whatever he said.
But it puts Matt in an awkward space because we also love Tombstone Jesus.
You know what Matt does? Before he hits Jesus with a chair, he gives him the old Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, I love you, and then he blasts him with it.
Ooh, that's right.
No, I don't think I would do that.
Dude, work every single like cliche about wrestling into like your gimmick. Everything.
Yeah, you should just be cliche Matt.
Everything. Just steal everything from the past.
Just none of your promos make sense. You're just stealing every single line.
You trip Tombstone when he hits the ropes, grab a meatball sub and start eating the sub.
Yeah. Pull a sock out of your underwear.
Dude, give him a fucking socko. Absolutely.
Yeah. Throw somebody through a mirror every single night.
I'm really bothered by this. He just assumed I would be in his corner.
Matt, you may have just been thrown into something you were not prepared for.
He's afraid of Tombstone Jesus. That's the problem. You!
No.
Tombstone will hit you with the fucking
pile driver. Here's one thing I'll say about Matt. He's not afraid of anybody.
I'll tell you what. I'm afraid of my wife.
Okay.
That's the truth right there.
Fair.
Me and Tombstone, probably closer to things in common than me and Miko.
Yes.
I
think Miko should have put that in into his consideration.
Yeah, it was a little bit disrespectful.
I think Tony is more of a Miko guy.
See, that's where I would have went. Like, if I was Miko, I would have grabbed me personally, and I would have put you at Tombstone. I think that would have made more sense.
So what was his role for you in this plan, Tony? What did he say that you were going to be?
He said I could back up Tombstone. I said, I got no problem with that.
Okay. And I was the ref, right?
Yes.
Yes.
See, the problem with doing that to Tony is now he's slighted Tony to assume that he's like, you're not good enough to back up me. Go back up Tombstone.
That's all right. Tombstone knows he's got a solid backer right here. That's all.
I mean, you guys would both be solid seconds to either one.
Here's the problem, Kevin. I don't want to be a second.
Matt wants to be in the match. Matt wants us to be tag team style.
Go to a school, train, bump, and then you can be the one.
Just put the ring in your yard, bro. We could train all week.
I don't need to go to school. I'll lay the smackdown on.
Oh, here we go.
Otto Von Shit Pants and Tombstone.
It's not Otto, dude. You're taking on Tombstone.
And you know what? I'll fucking smackdown Miko Maestro too. How do you like them apples?
Oh, wow.
Nah,
four-way.
All right.
Fatal four-way.
The guy was on the air with us for 40 minutes, and you couldn't say this to him.
I just thought about it. I'm very disheveled, Kevin.
Matt talks so much shit.
He said, coming on, I got some more stories to tell. So I thought he was like, and then this afternoon, was like, dude, we were like, we got to let this fucking guy talk about wrestling instead of fucking tuna pizzas and video games, whatever goofy bullshit we've done with him in the past. He comes on here. He's throwing me under the bus like I'm going to be his compadre all of a sudden.
and also talks about tuna pizzas.
Does he? Maybe I don't like him. Did he ever think about that?
Wow,
love me.
Look, you don't know me. You can't just giving out my fucking government name.
All right, I got an idea. Three-way dance. You represent Francis Wright.
Tony, fucking Matt. Matt, can you kick him out of the stream yard, please? Can you?
We have some real wrestling shit to talk about. That's okay. Right. Not fucking.
This is real life, bro. It doesn't get much more real than Miko and Tombstone.
Wrestling ring in my yard and paying to fly fucking Miko Maestro and Tombstone Jesus to New Jersey. What kind of crazy nonsensical bullshit are you on?
Yeah, Matt doesn't spend his money on stupid shit at all. AEW.
No, that's a
Ring of Honor buddies.
Don't you dare disrespect my wrestling buddies.
Dude.
All right, and I was in the goddamn same building as WrestleMania 4 and 5 2 weeks ago, so you shut your mouth. History.
Good. That and $3 get you on the bus. Who gives a shit?
We'll gamble that $3 down.
I was there for the Monday Night Raw when Shawn Michaels blasted The Undertaker with a chair. How do you like them apples?
That was the build-up to
the first Hell in a Cell.
Awesome. Before we get into a couple hot topics that we're going to talk about, I haven't had an opportunity to go on the air and discuss the Jay White situation. Okay.
There's a situation?
Yeah. What's the situation?
I may that have had a couple too many drinks.
Oh boy. Oh wait. Right. Did you drunken tweet it? Did you drunken tweet at Jay White?
You got heat with Jay White?
Oh. I talked. Oh. Look, there's rumor and there's innuendo out there in the world about. Thank you, Russian Alex, my man.
Alex. Matt Bowman is a government name. Matt
fucking on there. It's too late now.
Is a prince among men.
Alex hurt himself. He's out of work. I know he's an old school wrestling fan. I gave him my Peacock login information so he could watch old school wrestling.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
If you listen to the Mark Order podcast every Wednesday night, you know that we went. I did not fuck you. I did not scare off Jay White. Okay. This is the bullshit I'm talking about, all right?
Kev, I have no idea where this is going, honestly.
I have no clue.
We went down to AC for AEW. We stayed at the same hotel as a lot of the wrestlers.
Now I know where it's going.
Okay? Oh, no. I had great interactions. I talked to Ortiz. I talked to Giancarlo. I saw Kathy Hummer.
Yeah.
Hummer.
All friends. Queen of the Shining Wizards. Awesome.
All friends. All great interactions. I said what's up to Adam Cole and Britt.
Adam Cole and Britt. Listen to this fucking guy.
I talked to Matt Jackson. I said, what's up to the Murder Hawk? Thank you. it was late.
Oh, no.
I was.
Please tell me you didn't ask him about the Wonder Years DVDs, did you?
No, you asked about the Red Sox.
No. I was sitting at a video roulette table with my wife, Mrs. Money.
My wife.
Oh no.
And walking down the hall, I see Jay White all by himself. It's gotta be like 1 o'clock in the morning. He just wanted something to eat. I was like, holy shit, that's Jay White. And they're like, you gotta go. And I hesitated. So I hesitated so much that post this situation, I walked away from the table, the video roulette, and left my fucking phone there. I had to go back and get my phone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I got up. I sat down. I got up again. I started to walk, and we made eyes. And I knew it was no go. I knew. This is not it. This is not the time.
This is kind of the feel I got from the story that Kate told me.
I didn't freeze.
Yeah.
All right. I just felt like he saw me. I was not in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
I went back to my chair. I also saw him again as we were going up to the room. Like a child, I was very excited, but then he did not go the way I thought he was going, so I decided to call the whole thing off. Definitely regretted not just saying what's up to Jay White.
It's such a tough space to be in. It's such a tough place. Because... again, because of the immense amount of eye contact and your movement, I totally get why you decided it was probably better to lay out.
I probably look like the fucking girl from The Ring getting up and down at the fucking table.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, it's so tough. And me and Kate talked about it last week. Like, it's so tough to, know that it probably will end up being okay, but you just don't want to pull the trigger. I'm doing it. Especially, I didn't know that he sat down to eat. That's a huge deal. You never talk to somebody
that sits down
to eat.
There was only one place that was open late, so I knew they were all going that way. Like Lance Archer walked past us when we were playing, and I was like, Murder Hawk, and he was like, yeah, and it, like that was it.
We walked by. Now, see, Murder Hawk would be a guy that I would pull the trigger on.
Well, after the match he had, I'm sure he just wanted to find something to eat, too.
That's fair.
And we saw a bunch of other people too. Like we were at, so the problem is there's this place in the middle of the Tropicana. It's kind of like
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Look, we had a fucking great time, but they're open till like 2 a.m. and they just make like
Boogie Nights.
No, we didn't go to, it's a frozen drink joint.
Okay. I know. Yeah, I know it.
And everything is like $12. So I got like one size. And it was like $12. And then I went back and I was like, let me get the next size because I knew they were closing. And she gave me a bigger size. And it was only $12. I was like, fuck. And I was sucking those motherfuckers down. And it wasn't meant to be. I saw the dinosaur without his mask on. Very disappointing.
Oh, that's the worst.
Heartbreaking. We were in there getting drinks, and Vicky Guerrero and Legit Layla were behind us. And
all right, so I might regret not going to this show, because I would have been the one that would have initiated a conversation with every single one of these people. If I was drunk, I would have. Oh, would have been a bloodbath.
I had my so that is my story. Regardless of what you hear on the Mark Order, look, I was not scared. I did hesitate, though.
Oh, man, it happens, man.
And then when we were leaving the next day, Sammy Guevara and Tay Conte walked by us. She does not use an Instagram filter. I'll tell you that right now. She is stunning.
She's a very good-looking woman. Yes. Very, very, very good-looking woman. And the fact that AEW was able to figure out something for her when WWE couldn't is mind-boggling. I remember seeing Taya Conte in NXT when she would actually wear the gi, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu gi, to the ring, and then eventually she evolved a little bit. And the fact that they let her go and that AEW is running with her so great is, God, it's such just, it's, she's that good, I think. Or she has the potential to be that good.
I'm glad you brought up AEW, Kevin, because the big news of the week.
Oh, boy.
Cody Rhodes is done with AEW. Last Tuesday morning, he woke up, and the rumors were out there that he was working without a net, no contract. And then it looks like him and Brandy have moved on. They are they're done with AEW. They both put out statements. A lot. I think this up until recently caused a lot of questions for people, because we saw the stupid Paige Van Zandt Brandy Rhodes thing that happened on Dynamite. We thought that was going to lead to something. Cody was an EVP. Yeah. So a lot of interesting developments in the last week. Where do you guys stand on this whole, and to Tony's, to be fair, Tony's been saying it for a while now. Every time we talk about WWE releases or someone from the WWE showing up in AEW, he said it's only a matter of time before somebody jumps ship. And I know he hasn't done it yet, but all the signs are pointing to a WWE return. And Tony always said, at some point, somebody's going to go the other way from AEW to WWE. So what do you guys think about this?
I mean, Tony, I'll let you go first.
I mean, is it really a surprise? Like, it's felt like over the past couple of months, like even for a while, like Cody just hasn't been fitting in. I don't think he's really, as much as like everything was going with him toward being a heel, even though he kept saying like, I'm not going to be a heel. That's not what I do. I don't know, man. It kind of feels like he just wasn't fitting into like the direction AEW was going. And I'm tired of like talking so badly about Brandi Rhodes, but man, if anybody had like X-Pac heat in that company, it was her. That woman couldn't do a damn thing without catching heat from everybody.
Yeah.
The only thing though that I'll say that I really enjoyed when she was cutting that promo, I think it was on Jade Cargill when all that shit was starting. Yo, that was some funny shit, dude. That was the Brandy we didn't deserve, but we needed. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, and look, it is what it is. Like I said, people are going to leave. A lot of guys are getting cut now. You know, well, not cut. They're not being renewed. So there's a lot more of the talent that was from the jump in AEW who's now looking for other places to start working and working more. So eventually WWE is going to, you know, reach out. Start grabbing some of these people that they feel have value. Cody Rhodes, not the biggest fan. Will he have some value? For sure. Will he go to WWE? I don't know.
Wow.
Dude's trying to get into Hollywood. He's got like 55 TV shows on like TBS and TNT going on right now.
Maybe not anymore.
Well, you know and you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know if all of his stuff was necessarily tied into AEW or if this was...
No, I from what I've read, both shows are not being renewed, is what I've read.
Well, then so, I guess he's...
I could be wrong, but Go Big Show, I don't think it's coming back. And Road to the Top, I don't think it's coming back. At least on those networks. I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, sorry to interrupt you, Kevin. So this is... Take it with a grain of salt. This is from Meltzer. On Road to the Top Season 2, the filming for Season 2 had begun, and TNT is exploring the options of what to do with the footage they already have. Those decisions are likely to be made in the coming weeks, but everything is up in the air right now. So I guess they started filming Season 2.
Yeah. And apparently, I never watched it, so I can't really speak to how good it was, but I guess it did well enough. I mean, it's a reality show on a major cable network. So even if it has like less than great numbers in terms of wrestling, show like actual real-time TV shows, their numbers could be less, but it means more to the network. So with that being, I've definitely heard that Go Big Show is not coming back. I don't know if that's true or not. Just speculating, but I think the bigger story is that Cody was a founder of AEW. He was behind All Out. He was behind all of this, and the fact that someone that prominent is gone is, no matter how you felt his character was going on TV, the fact that he's gone from there now is a huge story. And I think Cody holds a whole lot of value going to WWE. Now, what they choose to do with that value is another thing.
Can I ask,
part two of this story.
Can I ask a question real quick? When I hear Cody Rhodes, I think Jeff Jarrett. I think he's a great mind for the business. I think he knows a lot about the business end of the business. I just don't see him being one of those top tier guys in the business.
All right. So I'm with you on that to an extent. The comparison, I don't think is 100% fair, because I think Cody is, and with all due respect to Jeff Jarrett, who I adore, I think Cody is heads and shoulders above Jeff Jarrett.
Okay. I mean, fair enough.
In what aspect?
In everything. In promos, in appearance, in persona, in aura, in entrance, in everything. I think Cody, if WWE chooses, I mean, granted, it might not be the best time for him to come back when you have a Roman Reigns and a Brock Lesnar. But if Cody would come back in any other era, I think his value, people know enough now that he could be literally the top of your card. I don't see that happening if he comes back now.
I'll tell you this much. With the whole Shane McMahon, Seth Rollins thing falling apart, you've got a built-in slot right there. And I don't think Seth Rollins is a terrible opponent for Cody Rhodes to make his return to.
That would be a great WrestleMania match. But again, just reading stuff online, I've heard that they're trying to maybe go Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins for Mania.
Oh, okay.
He's hurt, isn't he?
I don't think that was real. Was that real?
No, mm-hmm. I think the concussion wasn't real, but I think he fucked his shoulder up at Royal Rumble, and that's why they did that.
He needs surgery. They don't think he'll be back in time for Mania.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, if he's going to have surgery, he's got to be out at least a month. Like, Mania's in a month, isn't it?
I didn't even know he was having surgery.
Yeah, that clearly explains the whole performance at the Elimination Chamber, because I had no idea he was as limited as what he was in that match.
I just assumed that was just to get him out without taking a fall.
I could get why you would think that, but I don't know if they would want to protect Lashley like that.
Because some of the headlines I saw were like, WWE releases an update. An update was in quotes. Made it seem like it was a worked thing.
Well, the whole thing was like, I mean, in the story, it was a concussion. They came out, they were all, concussion protocol, and they're checking. Like, even the EMT or doctor or whatever, when they got in the ring, put the little like light in his eyes and shit like that. So they were running like concussion, concussion checks.
All right. So he was legit hurt, but just not what.
Kayfabe concussion. That's what they were going with. It was real funny, just as an aside, when Bobby Lashley was down in the corner and they were checking on him. God bless Adam Pearce. It made me laugh so hard. He gets in the ring like with the officials. It was kind of like the Tony Garea, Chief J Strongbow kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's literally 8 feet from Bobby Lashley, and he puts his glasses on. I'm like, what the fuck are you looking for 8 feet away that you got to put your glasses on? I couldn't stop laughing. You know he did that shit on purpose just to fucking make people laugh. Had to have. There's no other reason.
I know we jump way ahead, but
no. That was just an aside while I thought of it, because we started talking Bobby, potential stuff for
everything
Cody.
Leads to something else. Everything leads to something else. So back to AEW, Matt. Anything of note? I mean, Jay White.
I mean, well, let's not get away. Look, Cody going back to the WWE is not the, it's not absurd. We saw that happen with Drew McIntyre. He was let go. He came back. He had a great run. Jinder Mahal, the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, to your point before, Kevin, like, is this the best time? Like, if Cody comes in and beats Roman Reigns, I think that's terrible. It's fucking garbage. The other thing is he was on this mountain where he's like, I'm not going to be a heel. I'm not going to be a heel. After the shit with the throne, pretending to do a pedigree, like everyone associates that with Triple H in the WWE. If you bring him in and he's not a heel, I think you're already, you've missed the boat. No,
I mean, I get it. I wouldn't be upset either way, but I think because Triple H is so out of the loop now, like he's basically been like shunned, for lack of a better word, from WWE. I think Cody has to come in as a babyface, and he plays that music, and he just comes in and just, now does he, I don't think he's beating Brock or Roman if he comes in. He might be like an Intercontinental or US title guy, maybe, but I really want him to be a top guy there. I think he's earned it. And because we mentioned Drew McIntyre, but Drew McIntyre, there wasn't an AEW when Drew McIntyre was gone.
Well, he was the Impact World Champion.
He was Impact World Champion. No, of course. But that's not the level that AEW is. That, with all due respect to Impact and Evolve, I loved both of them. But this is now a major guy from essentially a WCW-esque promotion coming over for the first time. People know what that means. A million people a week know what that means. So, and they know what he meant before. They know what it meant when he was there. They knew his potential at the time. WWE just stuck him with a freaking face mask, a freaking Stardust, you know, a brutal theme song, a mirror in the Titantron. Cody, to me, is a top guy. And it's just the timing is not great for him. Now, if you, but the great thing about WWE is you still have an AJ Styles. You still have an Edge. You still have a Kevin Owens, a Seth Rollins, you know, all these, you know, on Austin Theory coming up in the world. So there's places for him to be top without being actually on the top. So I think there's much better space in WWE for him than AEW. Rehashing what? Like, I mean, I guess you could do both. He would fit in both places great, but coming back to WWE, I don't think is a terrible thing.
Two things he needs to do. One, either come in as heel Cody Rhodes. I agree with Matt. Wear the suits, wear the ties, talk like an asshole, think that the world is his oyster, that he's going to make a big difference. Go with that. Or, and you guys are going to fucking hate me for this, probably. It was my favorite Cody Rhodes ever. Stardust. I fucking loved Stardust, especially at the end when he was doing a lot of the Joker fucking, like the whoo-hoo and all that shit. Fucking Stardust was money. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
How'd that work?
Bring
out
back Stardust.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, he left because he was pissed off, but he was fucking great at the role. Maybe he's a little more mature now. Maybe he'll fucking sink into it. I don't know. I mean, his brother made a career out of being...
Yeah,
and he still incorporates all that shit in his gimmick to this day, even though he's Dustin.
But Dustin's career was not where Cody's was when started. Dustin Rhodes, that Goldust made that career for Dustin Rhodes. Let's be honest, he was a natural, he was awesome, but Goldust made Dustin Rhodes who he is now, and Goldust is the reason why Dustin Rhodes is still wrestling today.
I love me some Stardust.
Stardust was a net to try to revitalize Cody that just failed.
Yeah, I loved Stardust. I loved it. Loved it.
Before we move on from this Cody Rhodes conversation, one more question for you guys. Does Cody Rhodes move the needle?
For me, he does. I'll watch.
You'll watch.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'll check it out. Does he bring in new eyes? No, I don't think so. And look, Fair to say, a lot of guys have gone to AEW, and I've said they haven't moved the needle, and they haven't moved the needle. Is Cody Rhodes on that level? I don't think so.
All right.
I
Cody Rhodes is not on the level of a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk. He's not. You could debate whether or not he's on the level of a Christian Cage or a Mark Henry, even though Mark Henry hasn't wrestled. But I think the other thing is true. I think because there's more eyes on WWE, I think the other thing is absolutely true. I think if Cody Rhodes comes back to WWE, I know I'm watching. I am. And I think a lot of people would feel the same way.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm just, at the end of the day, it's WWE. And I think that's my biggest problem. And
yes,
and this is a great segue into the Elimination Chamber, because I think they're just going to WWE it.
Yeah. Spin the wheels, not do anything right? Progressive.
Like, look, how excited were people when they Big E won the Money in the Bank? And he cashed in. People were over the fucking moon about Big E. He had it all. And then he went and lost every single fucking televised match. And then he lost the title. And now he's an afterthought.
Yep.
I can't even tell you what Big E's doing. All I know is we got this very entertaining Brock Lesnar. Because I have Twitter up over here now. Like, homeboy came out tonight to open Raw. He's got a fucking cowboy hat on and a sweater. And he is the biggest baby face. He's letting kids touch the title. Like, he's having the time of his life against fucking Roman Reigns. Again, I think this will be the sixth time Roman Reigns is main event at a WrestleMania.
Nothing wrong with that. How many manias did Hulk Hogan main event? Come on.
It's a different era, man.
Dude, Roman Reigns is a fucking star. He's been champ for like 2 years now.
I'm kind of with Tony on this.
This run of Roman Reigns has been very successful. I will not argue. But everything, it's the same. WWE is giving us the same main events.
But are they when Brock is like a completely different Brock than he was? Like, Brock to me is like now, like, like you just said, you mentioned Twitter. He's wearing sweaters. He's rocking cowboy hats. This is like a Brock you want to root for, not just part-timer Brock that just comes back. It seems like a more lovable kind of Brock. Again, just going by what you just said.
Right, and I get that, but it's still, I don't care to see Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar title versus title. That's not me. And again, I do not watch the WWE. I know.
How do you say title once and then the very next word you go tittle? Like, what? You just said it.
So who has the tittle and who has the title?
The tittle is Brock.
Yeah, Brock has some tittles.
He's got them bitch tittles. And and Roman. Jesus. It's just the WWE. They're going to fuck it up.
All right, so let me ask you.
No, I don't. Come on, that's not fair. Those guys have been having amazing matches.
Ooh.
You can shit on a lot about WWE, but when it comes to the top of the card, by and large, for the most part, they've been delivering. Like, I know there's exceptions here and there, but dude, like, Roman Reigns' shit, aside from that dumb ending with Seth Rollins, like, his shit's been gold, man.
Yeah. And yes. even the Roman Goldberg match wasn't terrible.
Again, it's not for me, though. I'm not tuning in.
That's right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But I'm saying if you did tune in, I don't think you would hate it as much. Like, I don't think it's going to bring you back. Nothing like they do will bring you back. But if you, for the sake of us, if you watch it, you weren't 100% disappointed.
No, and I think that's a fair point, because the WWE, when they do their pay-per-views, they're usually always... Look, there's no doubt that the WWE has some of the best performers in the world. There's
absolutely
no doubt. If you're arguing that, you're silly and you don't know what you're watching. But it's like, I don't know how people sit through fucking 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown. Like, look, case in point, right? You get people all excited, right? For the Usos and the Viking Raiders. You fly these fucking guys to Saudi Arabia, and then we don't even get a match.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of disappointing. And maybe it's just me because, you know, Hanson's been a friend of the show, and I know him, and you know, it would be nice to see them get featured because they're a fucking unbelievable tag team. It's just like...
Yeah.
Ugh. And people are kind of like, you took the title off of Big E to give it to Brock, to give it to Bobby Lashley, to give it back to Brock, to give us this match at WrestleMania that was supposed to happen at day one.
They had to tie in the winner of the Royal Rumble. They had to do it that way. They didn't have a choice in terms of getting the title to Lashley, from Lashley, back to Brock, all that other shit.
Yeah. And it's not super uncommon, because Charlotte Flair was the SmackDown Women's Champion and she was in the Rumble too. So they've pulled this kind of shenanigans before where like they kind of like in a sports reference, they circumvent the salary cap to make things work for them the way they want it to work. So mm-hmm. they circumvent their own storylines to get to where they need to be.
It's just, you know, again, my opinion is this WWE, they're going to fuck it up.
Matt, listen, I agree with you. I'm not, I don't watch it. Like I come home on Friday nights. I'll put on SmackDown here and there, but if it, I watch Rampage as opposed to SmackDown. I don't care for the product right now. And it's the first time in a very long time where I've said that I just don't, it doesn't interest me. Like I, even if we get done with this podcast at, you know, 9:30, there's still an hour and a half left of Raw. I don't put it on. It's just not for me.
Hey, Matt.
Yo.
Speaking of people fucking things up that have to do with the WWE, can we talk about the Elimination Chamber?
We can talk about the Elimination Chamber. I don't know what you're hinting at, Tony.
Oh, you don't know what I'm hinting at?
Oh.
Now.
I can't yell tonight, so it's Elimination Chamber.
I'll do it.
Do it, Kev.
Oh, you know what time it is. It is time for a Shining Wizards head, Elimination Chamber style, all the way from that weird country of Saudi Arabia. We have picks going on right now, and the results are as follows.
Now Tony.
Wait. Okay, go ahead.
No one really fucked up anything.
What are you talking about?
Now, look, you went perfect.
Oh, did he?
Yes, Tony, I did.
Tony ran the board. He went 7-0.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But me and Kevin with a respectable 6-1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who won the day?
You won the day, but you make it sound like I picked, like when I picked the Royal Rumble, I went like fucking 3-7.
Hey. Are you closer or further away from first place after Elimination Chamber?
I'm only 5 games back. I'm 1 game below 500. So yeah,
we're early, man.
I didn't go backwards.
You're still a match back.
And that's okay. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
As long as I'm floating above 500, I'm okay.
Yeah, one, Kevin's only 3 games back.
2-3. It's coming. I'm calling it now.
Tony is 14-5. I am 11-8. And Matt is 9-10.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So me and Kevin both picked The Miz to beat Rey Mysterio Jr. And then across the board, we all had the same picks. We all picked Bianca to win the Elimination Chamber. We picked Roman to retain. We picked Drew to win. We picked Ronda and Naomi. We picked Brock to win the Elimination Chamber. No surprises.
Yeah. So what was the one match that was different between us and Tony?
You guys picked
The Miz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the Usos and the Viking Raiders was a no contest. It didn't even happen. So
doesn't even count.
Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y.
Why, Mysterio? Here we go.
7-0. Here we go.
T-Donk. I'm a big T-Donk guy tonight.
I did not see any of the Elimination Chamber, but I do know what happened. I saw a clip of Madcap Moss, and he's lucky he can walk.
Yes.
Scary.
100%. Horrifying. I know Bianca won, and she's challenging Becky at the Mania.
Yes.
And I know Brock won the Elimination Chamber, and he won the title, and he is challenging Roman Reigns at Mania. From that, I can give the floor to you guys, because I don't know. I mean, I know what happened, but I just didn't watch it.
The only thing I really watched, which is one of the newest bonus episodes, if you're a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, I sat down with my son and we watched the main event. We watched the men's Elimination Chamber match, and Matt just fucking quit the show, which is awesome. And let me tell you this, I enjoyed the match. Brock Lesnar, like Matt said earlier, he is just on another level with the gimmick, with the wrestling, everything, dude.
Is he just going to pee, or did he really leave?
Oh no, he's going to pee. I don't know. There's a message. I don't know. He's gone. He left. Yeah, he's gonna piss. There you go. He's just going to pee.
I'm gonna have to do that soon too. But yes, I agree 100%. Brock Lesnar is it's so weird with him. I don't know what it is, but I don't hate that he's still around.
No, I love it, dude. I love everything about it. Yeah. Bobby Lashley was eliminated early. They kind of just took him away, and I thought maybe he would have came back, but they were like, no, he's done. So when it came down to Lashley and Brock's Austin pods, yeah, but with the pods,
oh, he.
Dude, yeah, Lashley's pod opened up first, and Brock's like, fuck this. He just kicked his way out of his pod.
Yep.
And the best is, dude, like you were saying, he eliminated everybody else, and it was him and Austin Theory, and he chases Austin Theory. Austin jumps back in the pod, and Brock just like fucking mafia kicks the pod open. Fantastic.
Dude, I agree with you, Tony. I absolutely loved it. I think I loved what they did with, I mean, not knowing the scope of the Bobby Lashley thing at the time, then not really knowing what the deal was with that, but his stuff with Austin Theory and his stuff with just making him look like, imagine if you can make Brock Lesnar look even more scarier than he's looked his entire career. They did that in the Elimination Chamber. They made him look more terrifying than he's ever been in his life.
Yeah, and the great thing was, Austin Theory was scared shitless, but then he gets the nut shot and he gets a couple of moves, and then after that who knew that you could climb to the top of the Elimination Chamber and sneak out through the chains? Motherfucker was halfway out the cage.
Dude,
I was laughing the whole time. I'm like, I can't believe they're doing this shit.
And props to former guest of the show, Austin Theory, for taking that crazy bump.
The F5, yeah.
The F5 off dude, the top of the chamber.
And I think what put it all over, dude, people.
Wait, Matt's giving me a weird look.
People went nuts for Brock Lesnar when he won. They were cheering for him like crazy. And the best part was, after he was given the title and he was celebrating, he was still pulling at his bag. Like, his nuts were still hurting him. How fucking great was that?
His magic bag? Matt's magic bag?
Dude, I loved the whole fucking thing. I loved it.
Austin Theory has never been on this show.
Yes, he has, Matt.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he has.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. 100%.
Did he have another gimmick name? He was always Austin Theory, no?
Yeah, he's always been Austin Theory.
In Evolve, when he was in Evolve, he didn't do the show?
Nope.
No. That was Gabe Sapolsky.
I don't know who you're thinking of, but it was not...
I could have sworn we had Austin Theory on.
We've never had Austin Theory on the show.
That's probably BB Hulk.
We've never had BB Hulk. Wish we did.
Matt, I think you're wrong.
No, I think Matt's right. We'd have to check on that. I don't know. I got nothing else on the Elimination Chamber. I watched the Goldberg-Roman Reigns match. It was fine for what it was. Thankfully, it was short. So there was that. Other than that, I got nothing else.
Lita, Becky Lynch. Lita's reception and her appreciation there was incredible. So that was really fun to see. The Women's Elimination Chamber, seeing all of them being able to actually wear their, I guess, for lack of a better term, appropriate wrestling gear, not having to wear these long ass t-shirts, was cool to see.
Dude, they all look like dominatrices. Like, they were all like leathered up and shit, dude.
They have to. They have to cover up their bodies up to their neck.
It was crazy just seeing them all like head to toe in like leather, like the pleather outfits and shit.
Oh, that's not the first time that's happened. And in fact, it was worse. They would have to wear long t-shirts over that.
I know. I've seen the history of the women's matches over there in Saudi Arabia.
But it's progress. It's their, I mean, whatever you want to say about what's happening over there, they're able to wear their own gear and do their stuff. And great match. Rhea Ripley is a freaking star.
Yep. 100%.
I don't know why some people don't see it. Bianca deserved to win. Bianca should have won. And the fact that we're going to get Bianca Becky is awesome. And Bianca should win again, just like last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was.
No, it was last year. It was night one. It was last year, yeah. Night one.
Not night two.
All right, I guess that's Elimination Chamber, yeah?
I love it.
I didn't watch it.
Good.
All right. Baby.
Oh, I thought somebody muted.
All right, we got one more thing to talk about before we take a little break, and that would be Impact Wrestling's No Surrender.
Yeah, baby.
Which was their Saturday night vehicle live from I think they were in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, they were live, which kind of makes me wonder if we should start picking these when they're live.
Oh, I like where. Don't fucking put your thumb down.
Because I know they're only like the $10 specials and their subscriptions for Impact Plus, but if we're picking Chamber, this was a live show that you have to pay for. So I'm thinking maybe we should start picking these.
There are a lot of live wrestling shows you have to pay for.
But if we're not paying for it, then we don't have to pick it. Matt has a very generous subscription.
Well, then I'm going to start fucking making us pick everything that's on IWTV. Fuck it. I pay for it.
No, Tony, you're being ridiculous.
Oh, I'm being ridiculous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pick ridiculous.
Nonsensical shows. It's like, let's pick fucking Dark. Let's pick Dark Elevation then while we're at it.
Oh, you can't. The results are already out there.
Yeah.
Good. Then I'll fucking be 105-5.
The only thing that's tough is I never know which Impact specials are live or taped. But I knew this one was live. So, like, I was like, eh. But, I let sleeping dogs lie. Fantastic show. Takeaways, Matt, from this show were the biggest one, of course, was going into the Honor No More versus Team Impact stuff. It had to feel the entire time like a WCW, WWE invasion angle type stuff where you knew someone was going to turn. Like, you just had that feeling that someone was going to turn on somebody, but you just didn't know who it was. And even, all right, Lisa, I see you. With the Kevin with the haircut, with some nice heart emojis.
Thank heart eyes, Lisa. Nice.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. You knew someone was going to turn on someone. I did not see Eddie Edwards doing it, but it makes sense with his history with Ring of Honor and his history with those guys. It just totally made sense. And I absolutely loved it. So that's takeaway number one, Matt. I don't know if you watched the show.
I loved it. I thought the story they told, especially with them thinking it was so at the somewhere in the middle of the start of the show, a couple matches in, Eddie Edwards gets attacked backstage.
Yes.
He's out. They're going to bring in Willie Mack, but people think Macklin did it, so they don't trust Macklin.
They don't trust Macklin, exactly. And this is a story that they've been telling. This the members of this team have been shuffling throughout the weeks on Impact. Like, it seems like every week someone was pulled out and someone was brought back in. So it made sense in terms of continuity.
Yes.
Continuity of the story where, yeah, just because someone's out means, hey, listen, it's Team Impact, man. We're here for the cause. We can bring somebody else in that supports the cause. And of course, maybe Macklin was maybe dialed in to be the one that turned, but he has no history with Ring of Honor. Eddie Edwards, heel Eddie Edwards. I'm here for it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully going forward in the next couple sets of Impact, you know, at least the next one that comes up this Thursday, they explain, because maybe you're not familiar. Maybe you watch an Impact, you're not a Ring of Honor fan. Eddie Edwards, Triple Crown winner. He really made his career in Ring of Honor back in 2010, 11, 12. Like, he was him and Davey Richards, the Wolves, like some pretty classic fucking matches.
Yeah.
So I thought it made great sense. And I think it was a great move by Impact.
Eddie Edwards. So good. He needed it. He'd
done all he could do for Team Impact. Like, he was at, you know, he reached the end of his, you know, it was, what are we going to do next with Eddie Edwards? And this fits perfectly. Now they win, so they are contract, like, they have a job.
They're at Impact, there,
which is beautiful.
Yeah. So that's love Kenny it. King, PCO, Vincent, Taven, Bennett, and Maria. So they're going to be on our TVs now, or on our YouTubes for Impact, which is incredible. And I'm sure they'll all be back at Ring of Honor when they reinvent themselves. So Matt, I agree 100%. It's something that Eddie Edwards needed, because he's like the one guy that was billed as a top guy in that company that, like, kind of really, and this is no disrespect to him because I love Eddie, kind of got still, like, it's like, all right, it's Eddie Edwards. Like, he's just here again. Like, he has a kendo stick. He's going to hit somebody with it. Like, what are you going to do with him?
Right.
And this is now going to put a new edge on Eddie Edwards that he hasn't had in a long time. And it's awesome.
Right. There's only so many Eddie Edwards hardcore matches.
Yeah.
You can watch, right?
Yeah. Eddie Edwards, Moose. Eddie Edwards, Tommy. Like, there's only
Eddie
so Edwards, much.
Sammy Callahan. Yeah. Eddie Edwards, you know, whatever his feud is. So, yeah, I'm with
well,
you.
Well, now, but actually, now that you mentioned Sammy Callahan, if he comes back as a babyface, having a heel Eddie Edwards for Sammy Callahan babyface, I could be there for that.
Having Sami Callihan come back as like he's waving the fucking Impact flag could be awesome.
That's brilliant. Brilliant, Matthew. All right. So takeaway, I guess, number two would be, I guess, the Digital Media World Championship. Kind of a dud in terms of, you know, finish. But, you know, Cardona's now a dickhead heel in Impact. So he wins by disqualification after, you know, Jordan Grace gives a little low blow ski. Well, that's a terrible way to say it. Low blow. So Matt Cardona retains, just reenacting his douche heel persona that he's made popular everywhere else he's been. Let's see what else, Matt. We got the world championship match with Moose and Cass. Moose is solidified as the guy. Cass is now not. Brian Myers on commentary. Incredible. And the Bullet Club, Matt. That shocked me.
Yeah, Jay White turned on Tama Tonga and Tonga Leo.
They are out of the club.
They're out, and it looks like it's Jay White, Chris Bay, and the Good Brothers waving that Bullet Club flag.
It didn't look like they were too keen on Bay, though. I don't know if he's long for the Bullet Club, to be honest with you.
We're gonna have to find out. I think he's in though, man. They're promoting his Bullet Club esque T-shirt on the social medias today. So,
Matt, let me ask you something about Antonio, about Jay White.
Yeah, he's a man.
I know. I'm a big Jay White guy. Do you think that the pandemic and COVID and his involvement and Impact took a little bit of the bloom off the rose of how big a star Jay White could have been? Like, I know he was the guy in New Japan, but for some reason, like, seeing him in AEW now, which is awesome, and seeing him in Impact is awesome, but to me, he doesn't feel like the guy that I want him to be. Like, I don't want, like, I want him to be like Simba, or I want to hold him up and just like, this is the next coming of our top tier talent. I don't feel that way about him right now.
The thing is, like, we're hardcore wrestling fans, right? It's safe to say, even if we don't watch every week, like, you know who Jay White is, you know the significance of him showing up on your TV. An Impact wrestling fan, and you could even say like an AEW wrestling fan,
right,
doesn't get the how unbelievable it is that Jay White is. Like, you don't get, and I know Tony's gonna hate this, the greatness of Jay White. Like, you don't understand.
He's good.
He's very good. But I also think it's smart of them to, he's there to get more eyes on the Impact product, and I think they do a good job of featuring him but not instantly putting him in the main picture now.
Right.
They could do with, and same thing with AEW, like him and Trent Beretta, to me and you and Tony, that's a main event anywhere. You watch Rampage for that. For a casual wrestling fan, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. And
I don't know. Like, a couple vignettes, something, some promos would really, I think, do both companies a little service just to give you, like, the scope of, like, how big Jay White really is.
And here's the thing. I don't, for not being a super New Japan regular, I know who he is. I know what he's done. I know what he's accomplished. But I don't know, even me, a hardcore fan, I don't know how big Jay White really is. Like, I don't even know. So if that's like me saying that, that's like, how, imagine how that trickles down. Like, shit runs downhill. Like, imagine how that feels to other people that don't even watch Impact or watch AEW. Like, Kenny Omega is a different animal, right? Right. Kenny Omega to Impact was great. I don't get the same vibe, and I don't think that I should, or the same vibe. I don't get it from Jay White's appearance. And I'm not saying that I should. I'm not saying it's fair to compare them. But it just, like, that's, like, the feel that I got from when they brought him in. They wanted it to be like a Kenny Omega. But it's not.
It's not. Yeah, I think they really, the Kenny Omega and Impact, I think they really fucked that up. Like, I don't know, like, he showed up, he cut a couple promos, like, he wrestled, like, a handful of times.
Wrestled Christian, you know, wrestled
He wrestled Christian at a pay-per-view. He wrestled, you know, he wrestled on pay-per-view, but like, you know, they didn't like AEW didn't mention that he was the Impact World Champion. He'd come out with the belt. They wouldn't plug the show. They wouldn't plug their pay-per-views. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And then like, he lost. Now he's not your champion.
Yeah. He lost to Christian and then, right? He lost to Christian, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like here, I think this is more of like a, I'm torn because he's on AEW too. He's also on New Japan Strong. Yeah. And he's on Impact, right? You're not gonna make him be the top dog, right? Across all three platforms.
Yeah. And we talk about like, I know the term that we all hate, but we all love at the same time, the forbidden door. If somebody is so readily available on all of these different productions and being used in such a different way, it kind of hurts them more than I think it maybe benefit them. Tony, it's not the territory where there's no cameras on. Like you could lose in Pittsburgh and then win in New York without anyone knowing, but with New Japan, with, you know, Impact, with AEW, with NWA, I feel like for us, at least, it matters what you do here and there.
I think what they're doing with Jay White, though, is,
again, I don't know what they're doing with Jay White on other platforms. So let me just
On New Japan Strong, he's essentially just doing an open challenge. And I will say, I'm going to say a spoiler. So if you don't want to hear this, turn off the stream, turn off. It's everywhere.
Mute it.
They just did a taping on Thursday night, and Friday night they aired when Jay Lethal answered his open challenge, and then Thursday night, which will probably air in like 5 weeks, Shane Strickland answered his open challenge.
This is what, and this is NWA? New
Japan, yes.
Oh, New Japan.
Yeah, because nice. they're doing their stuff here in the States. In Impact and in AEW, they're essentially kind of running the same storyline, right? Like in Impact, it's Bullet Club. What version of Bullet Club are you with? On AEW, it's a little more subtle because you're still missing key players. I want to say they brought it up, the history between Jay White and Kenny Omega. Obviously, the Bucks, Adam Cole, all former members of the Bullet Club. There are a lot of spoons in the porridge, as I like to say. And it'll be interesting to see the way they played out. But they are kind of telling similar stories on Impact and AEW, and I think that will benefit them. Because you're seeing him on Impact saying, I'm the leader of the Bullet Club. And then you're seeing him on AEW not saying he's the leader of Bullet Club, but also still throwing up the two sweet and still saying more with his actions versus words. I know my internet's wonky right there, so I apologize if I'm frozen.
You're good. You're good right now. But it was just going back to Impact. It was weird seeing staples of the Bullet Club, Tama Tonga and Tonga Iloa, getting essentially outed now for the OGs, if you will, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, which it's going to be interesting to see where they go. And I feel like all of the Bullet Club storylines are now essentially in America and not New Japan. Again, I don't know about what's going on in New Japan.
You're pretty right there, Kevin. There's not the only Bullet Club members in New Japan are El Fantasmo, Ishimori, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Bone Soldier.
I love Bone Soldier.
Which is Taji Ishimori, so it's stupid of me to say that. Who am I forgetting?
Who's the pimp guy?
Yes, that's Yujiro Takahashi.
Yeah, pimping ain't easy.
Yeah.
Right, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I also, from No Surrender, I did like Jonah and Black Taurus.
All right, so this to me was a filler match. This was like put Earthquake against Hercules, a big guy that maybe poses a threat, but really you know has no shot of winning. So I kind of dialed out on this match. No disrespect to Jonah or Black Taurus Hogan. Just had no interest at all because you knew the outcome immediately.
I thought it was a great Haas battle. I liked it. I also think, and I think this was kind of a consensus Saturday across the internet wrestling community, Eric Young, one of the most fucking underrated dudes in prof. He is so fucking good.
Really good at everything that he does. There's not one thing that that Eric Young does that is bad.
No, his match was him and Jay White had a great match, and I also like that Jake something won the Fatal Four Way, yeah. And they're setting up something with him and Trey Miguel.
Yeah, and they teased a tag match for Thursday on Impact with Trey Miguel, and then the countdown to Impact was kind of decent too. Yeah, Trey Miguel retained the X Division Championship over. My memory stinks. Who did he beat? Who the fuck did he beat? I literally just watched it today.
Ace Austin. It wasn't.
Yes. Portland. Yeah, and so they're teasing the match between Trey and Jake.
It wasn't those guys though, because they were in the four way.
Oh,
wasn't Speedball. Oh,
it was the four way was Austin, Jake, Speedball.
Right, but Trey Miguel beat.
He beat somebody. Tony, who was it, Tony?
I pulled it up right here.
Joe.
John Skyler.
Yeah, Skyler. Yeah. You got the right. You got the first initial of the first name, Tony.
And just to put a bow on this Impact talk, Kev, Asian Joe says, I see Jay White being short-term in AEW for the story arc between the Bullet Club and the Elite. So are we getting a Hollywood versus Wolfpack gang wars type of story?
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so too, because you know I'm a sucker for a good gang war and good invasion angles. But now who would Tama and Tangaloa, who would they recruit? Who's available for them to have on their side now?
You could go, you go Bucks, you can go Kenny, you can go Adam Cole.
So if they show up in AEW, all right, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Picking up what you're putting down. Yeah, great overall pay-per-view, by the way. Mickie James and Tasha Steelz, phenomenal, good stuff there. Virtuosa had the open challenge for, I think she put up that Rhea Del Rey championship against Melinda.
Miranda Alizé.
Yeah, Miranda Alizé, who's awesome, yes, by the way. Big fan.
Here's a fun story for you. AAA had a card Saturday night, too. Taya Valkyrie won a five-way dance to get a shot at that title.
The Rio de Janeiro Championship?
The Rio de Reinas Championship.
That's right. Awesome. Good show. Peacock.
Oh, sorry, Kev. So that is essentially Impact in a nutshell. We didn't want to go too deep, but I think we did. Yeah. T-Donk, do you want to plug the network, and then we can get on with our program?
The network should only take about a minute or so. I can do that.
All right.
This week on the network, these are the shows that are available currently to you on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. That feed is available on all major podcasting platforms. Let's take you right to the top. Inconclusive Breakdown, their top 10 this week. Of course, they always bring you everything in pop culture and news, everything you need to know. Their top 10 this week was Crushes. So for their 400th episode, it's a great listen. There you go. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Phil and Jay this week bring you coverage. Their throwback is Super Brawl 2. The Midnight Jury does a watch along. They watch the movie Things, and apparently it's the worst movie they've ever seen. Make sure you check that out. Ringside Rant, covering it going into Super Brawl number 8. They watched the February 16th, 1998 episode of Nitro, and they talk about that. Radioactive Metal. For Valentine's Day, Snowy and Aaron talk about their Valentine's Day crushes. I love the Valentine's themes on these shows, by the way. The Mark Order podcast, they go in depth this past week about Cody Rhodes. They go in depth about their visit to the tapings on Rampage. I think that was all the Atlantic City stuff. Check out the Mark Order podcast. Wrestling Night in Canada, GCW and Royal Rumble coverage from Snowy, Matt Copper, and Ducky. Check that shit out. And of course, our brothers from Australia, good friends of ours, the Brocast, they spell it with a K, don't forget. They got the watch along for the February 15th, 1999 episode of Raw. Lots of good stuff going on right now. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for all of your wrestling, pop culture, music, and all your other needs. It's all there, one spot. And Matt, what else can we tell the people about this week?
If you are a fan of the show, you follow the show, you know the Mont Spock and William Mercier. Well, they put together themselves a podcast. It is called Marking Out with High Five Tom, Ring of Honor Revelry. It's available on Visionary Global Media. And him and Mercier go back to Ring of Honor 2012, So their latest episode, they cover the Ring of Honor TV from February 25th, 2012. And that drops on February 26th, of 2022. New show every Saturday. So check them out. And of course, if you want to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you can do so over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show. That dollar gets you a plug on this show every week. And as you pledge more, you get more. $3 a month gets you our watch alongs and our bonus episodes. Tony did a watch along with the Sun Blue Elimination Chamber. Me and Kevin talked about Super Brawl 4. So check that out. As you go up in tiers, you get more perks, $5 a month. We will give you all those and plug your social media, websites, anything that we see fit. $10 a month gets you a box of Wizardry, minimum 3 months. And anything above that, bigger, better box of Wizardry, same deal, 3 months minimum. So at this time, we're going to thank those that support us over at our Patreon. Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Shining Wizards. Benny Carazzo, the King of the Shining Wizards. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Sean Toe, who was here earlier. Sean Callejo down in Australia.
Real quick, let me stop you. Sean Callejo, we don't shout him out enough. He is the impetus behind the creation and the beast that we call Can You Beat That? I just wanted to give Sean props. We don't give him props enough for that, but that's a huge part of our show now. So thank you again, Sean. I'm sorry, Matt, continue.
No, you're good. Kate Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com, the Mark Order Podcast, the Fightful Post Show Friday nights for Rampage and SmackDown, Sour Graps with Alex doing the NXT review. And if you're listening to this live, you're in the chat right now. Kate is filling in on the Fightful Raw Post Show tonight. And I think she did something crazy, like 8 fucking podcasts last week. So Kate is grinding. If you love her, you support her, please follow her and support her in all these wonderful ventures. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls. Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Koss, the Mott Spock. We talked about his Ring of Honor podcast before. Michael Hammond. Matthew Birch, the True Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine. Braden Bergen, the LeBron James of Elite Figure Collecting. Brandon Haney, Kerry Cowling, Ryan Schlong from the Mark Order Podcast, Asian Joe, who just chimed in a minute ago on Facebook, David Henry Bauer III, my man Roll.
Roll.
Roll time.
Mike Roll. Peterson, Rob Humphrey, and last but certainly not least, his pal Antonio Horserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com, the one, the only William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Kevin, I know what you mean. So if you want to check out all the bonus content we're giving you, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We're quickly approaching the 2-hour mark. Did we want to do the 3 count or do we just want to go into down the aisle?
Or top 5?
Let's do some 3 counts. Let's do some three counts. Because I got some 3 counts here we can get through right away.
All right. So we're going to do some new segments here, guys. If you've been a fan of the show, you know that we kind of like to dive into every episode and kind of go through match by match. And it seems like that's taking up a lot of time. So we are going to kind of change the format. We're still going to cover the shows, but we're going to talk about our 3 favorite things from that show. 3 moments, 3 segments, promos, whatever that made the show memorable. So I guess Tony's going to take the lead on our first 3 count in the NWA.
NWA, everything was awesome this week. Well, not exactly. This is my 3 count, the number 1 slot. Raven and Tim Storm. I am getting tired of this story. Raven comes out every week, and he's telling Tim Storm that he's not doing a good job. And Tim Storm called him out on it this week on NWA USA. And Raven told him to suck it up. And Tim Storm looked like he was ready to kick his ass. He told him, you got a problem with me. Go to Billy, go to the board, let them know what your problems are. Stop coming out ruining the show. But not only did they not stop there, no. They announced that Medusa is now co-president and co-in charge of NWA USA. When will the hilarity stop? I don't know. Who did Tim Storm's cornflakes pissed get in, whatever? Yeah. It's fucking annoying, and I'm pissed off. I can't even talk about it.
Why are you so angry about Medusa?
I'm pissed off that they're usurping everything that Tim Storm is doing. The poor guy can't catch a break. What the fuck did he ever do to these people? Raven's a dick, and Medusa's too much. Get him out of here.
Now, let me ask you a question, Tony. This just applies to NWA USA.
Yes, because Raven's a dick, and he's trying to take away...
Are things off the rails, though? There's many attacks.
Here, case in point, right?
George South a couple weeks ago with a chair?
Yeah, and Tim Storm's got everything under control, but Raven apparently is being a dick.
Hold on. George South is like 75. He does not have everything under control. Old men are getting hit with chairs.
No. Tim Diapers. Storm's got everything under control. That's
sound like it.
Well, what do you want him to do? Put everybody in handcuffs until it's time for them to wrestle? That's not a feasible solution right there.
I think he needs to maybe, you know, set a precedent.
So here's
this is unacceptable. Where the Karina, the Fixers are in the Crockett Cup. Why don't you boot them from the Crockett Cup and make an example out of them? Don't let them attack old man George South.
Great point.
George South probably got to keep his mouth shut once in a while too. I love me some George South, but you know, older fellas got to know their place, right?
Are you saying he deserved to get hit with a chair?
I'm not saying anything. I reserve the right to comment on any shenanigans and wrongdoings going on in NWA USA. Number two, we got an interview segment with Scion and Matt's favorite commentator, Austin Idol. And Austin Idol's saying that he's here to help. He's here to help Scion. And Scion turns around and says, I don't need your help. You know who I'm getting help from? My father, who wasn't just any world champion, any champion in NWA. He's a former world champion. The plot thickens. It's not Austin Idol. Who could it be? A former world champion? I'm intrigued. But number one this week, of course, Team War Finals, your winners, Strictly Business, and guest of the show last week, Mr. El Rudo, Sam Adonis. They defeated The End and Rodney Mack in an awesome match. A lot of cheating, a lot of shenanigans, but fucking Tom Latimer dropping two big pile drivers, one of which was the stump version, like fucking Mick Foley and Terry Funk, where he just yanked and went. Fucking awesome for them. So they win. Yanked and went, baby. Grab him by them tights and he's going and boom. And that was it. By the way, Jax Dane has not been with The End because Rodney Mack fucking beat him up and scared him off for talking shit about Jazz. That's why Jax Dane wasn't around. And that's why The End actually grabbed the guy who kicked the shit out of their former partner to make him their partner. So there you go. That was a fun match. And that's my three count for the NWA. But like Matt said, we got the announcements of the participants in the Crockett Cup. You want to hear them real quick or you got them?
I have 14 of the 16.
You would be correct because the 16th seed is going to be decided on night one. They're going to have a fatal four-way for that spot. And I don't know what they're doing with spot 15, but that's a TBD. So who knows? Maybe they got a wild card. Somebody's showing up. I don't know.
Yeah, let's hope. So the number one seed goes to Le Rebellion. They are the NWA Tag Team Champions, so they get the one seed. Your 8-9 matchup is The End against Hawks Airy. Your 5-12 matchup, Doug Williams and a partner to be named taking on the Ill-Begotten. And that could be any combination of Alex Taylor, Captain Yuma, Jeremiah Plunkett, and or Rush Freeman.
So Nick Aldis is... Oh, is Nick Aldis fighting Cardona? On the Crockett Cup? Okay.
Yeah, yes. Strictly Business is your four seed, Adonis and Tom Lattimore. They will take on Gold Rush, which is Jordan Clearwater and Marche Rocket.
Gold Rush.
Your sixth seed is Matthew Mims and the Pope. And they will be taking on the 11th seed, the Cardonas, Mike Knox and VSK.
Yep. Oh, love it.
Your three seed is the Fixers, Jay Bradley and Wrecking Ball Ligurski, and they'll be
That's a mix up. The three seed is actually OGK, and the 14th seed is the Fixers. There's a mess up there. Yeah,
my apologies.
No, you're good.
I'm on the Wikipedia, so my
NWA expert. Wikipedia is a little off. So,
The seventh seed is Stevens and Kratos.
Yes,
and they are taking on the Dirty Sexy Boys. And your two seed is the Briscoe brothers, and they are taking on a team to be determined.
TBD, baby.
So is Aaron Stevens like kind of like, I remember watching a couple weeks ago, he was like so disheveled and so weird now. Like what's his deal now? Is he a member of the church of Vandenberg?
No, he's just back to being weird Aaron Stevens like he was like a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yep. He had a rebirth after Kratos was getting in his head. So that's where he's at now.
I love it. He can do nothing wrong in my book.
Kevin, anything to add to the NWA talk before we move on?
Matt, unfortunately, I did not get a chance to watch NWA. So we can move on, I guess.
Onward! To the MLW, Tony.
We got a three count here, and boy, this is a good one. When did I ever like Los Parks? I've never liked Los Parks. However,
That's not when they were cooking.
The pendejo with Los the salt. Parks. Yes, I do love that. That is correct. Well, I love them for their matches with 5150, and they had a banger this week, a ladder match, return match for the MLW tag titles, and it was a lot of fun, dude. It may not have been the fucking, like, the greatest ladder match of all time, but these guys were jumping and diving and doing shit. Homicide got involved. L.A. Park got involved. Julius Smokes was jumping around at ringside. 5150 retains. They get the belts. But this match was a lot of fun. Awesome shit. Number two, after turning on his brother, we finally hear from Richard Holiday and his main squeeze, Alicia Atoot. Bro, let me tell you something. Their Truth or Trice segment. Overweight, juiced up burden. Those are the words that Richard Holiday used to describe his former friend and partner and comrade, Alexander Hammerstone.
He used those words? He used the words juiced up?
Overweight, juiced up burden. How great is that line? Dude, they were selling. And let me tell you something. Holiday was fired up. Alicia Atoot was kind of like, dude, she was doing like subtle shit, like massaging the back of his head and like rubbing his shoulder and shit while they were cuddled up. This was fucking money. This was great. And they toast at the end. She's like, sweetie, calm down. It's Valentine's Day. She goes, here's to new beginnings. And he goes, and happy endings. And that was fucking money. Dude, I love this shit.
I'm so happy for Richard Holiday, man. Dude. He's a talent.
Loved it. But that was not the biggest count of them all. That was not the clincher. Here's the clincher. Davey Richards. Alexander Hammerstone, fucking El Jefe. We had the contract signing, and these motherfuckers don't like El Jefe, and they were threatening him, and it was all kinds of shit going on. Lots of respect in the room. Lots of fucking testosterone pumping. I can't wait for this main event at Super Fight Charlotte. It's going to be a banger. Davey Richards gets a shot at the MLW World Championship. Good shit from MLW this week. Good shit.
And let me give you your MLW Supercard lineup. This is what it looks like taking place this weekend, actually, down in Charlotte. Tony mentioned it. Hammerstone against Davey Richards, MLW Heavyweight Championship match. Stairway to Hell match between Jacob Fatu and Mads Kruger. Killer Cross returns to the MLW. The MLW National Openweight Champion Alex Kane defends against Calvin Tankman, Matt Cross, and ACH in a four-way match. The MLW tag titles are on the line as 5150 defends against EJ and Duca and a mystery partner.
Ooh.
The Von Erichs take on.
Do you think it's Pac-Man Jones, Matt?
I hope not. Ross and Marshall Von Erich take on the team of Ricky and Carrie Morton.
Yes. Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Enzo against Casey Navarro. Alex Shelley against Richard Holiday. The debuting Gangrel takes on Gnarls Garvin.
That's Big Beef, isn't it?
Yes. His name is Beef, I think was his gimmick.
Big Beef.
Trios match, Arez, Gino Medina, and Mini Abismo Negro take on Puma King, Octagon Jr., and a mystery partner. So we got a couple mystery partners. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be there.
Who's he wrestling?
He's just making an appearance.
Oh, right? Okay. Okay.
He's there, brother, just to make an appearance.
Do we have 2 minutes? Yep. I got a surprise for Kevin this week. I got a surprise for Kevin. MLW, Kevin.
What about it?
Top 10, baby.
Oh, I was going to ask this.
All right. Your world champion is Alexander Hammerstone. You guys want to start throwing some names? Let's see if we get the top 10 this week.
All right. Wow. All right. I wasn't expecting this. Matt, you go first.
Give me Richard Holiday.
Richard Holiday is number six.
Oh, number six. Give me EJ Njoku.
EJ Njoku, 10.
Alex Kane.
Alex Kane, your openweight champion, number four.
Matt, go again.
Davey Richards.
Davey Richards, your number one contender, yes.
Give me Casey Navarro.
Casey Navarro, not on the list.
All right.
Jacob Fatu.
Jacob Fatu, number two.
I love Jacob Fatu, by the way.
I love him too.
Fatu. give me.
Come on, we mentioned him already.
Matt, you go.
Let's go, Mads Kruger.
Mads Kruger, number three.
Oh, give me Pagano.
Pagano, not on the list. Oh.
But wait, isn't he a big star there?
No.
He was a big star in like Mexico.
Come on, who else we got?
Well, wasn't the Richard Holiday turn against a match with Pagano?
Yeah, but that was because they were doing the deal with Crash down there.
They were in Texas.
No, it was Mexico. Close
to Texas.
Bunch sticks. Hold on, just give me a second.
Teddy Hart.
Christ.
Teddy Hart not on the list.
What about that deal with the Peacock?
ACH.
ACH not on the list, but they had a good match this week, too.
Calvin Tagman.
Calvin Tagman not on the list.
Really?
Not on the list.
What are we missing?
You're missing. Want me to go?
Kevin Koo.
No. You each get one more guess. If somebody gets one right, we'll keep going.
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley not on the list. Matt?
Hold on.
King Mo.
King Mo not on the list. Matt, you got one more chance. Let's save this. Come on.
I know people in MLW. I watched it last week.
Fuck.
Number one was Davey
Matt
Richards.
Matt
Cross not there. Number two, Jacob Fatu. Number three, Mads Kruger. Number four, Alex Kane. Number five is King Muertes. Number six is Richard Holiday. Number seven, your Cruiserweight champion, Tajiri. Number eight, TJP. Number nine, Enzo. And number 10, we got EJ and Duka. That was your top 10 for the week of February 17th. Good job, though. Six out of 10. Some of those are kind of tough.
We didn't get six, did we?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You didn't get Muertes, Tajiri, TJP, or Enzo. You got six out of 10. Not bad. You passed.
All right.
Good on you.
You guys want to do my top five?
Yeah, let me just run through this three count for Ring of Honor. It has been announced that the Briscoe brothers will be defending the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships at the return show on April 1st, the Supercard of Honor in Dallas, Texas. And they also announced that CM Punk is the final entrant into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame.
Really?
That was announced today. So he's going in, and him, the Briscoes, Joe, and Daniels?
Yeah. So, Matt, basically what they're doing is they're putting all their eggs in this one basket. Like, it might be the only time they ever do this. Do you get that feeling?
No. I think it's just like who's available, you know, like you couldn't get Samoa Joe. Oh, you know, you could get Samoa Joe.
I'm telling you, these are like the biggest stars they've ever had.
Kevin Owens, El Generico. You can't get those guys yet, you know?
No. And I think Ring of Honor was kind of built on the back of these guys, right?
No, of course, I agree with that 100%. With the Briscoes, Joe, Punk, Daniel Bryan essentially saved.
Yeah, this is a great class. Like, if you're gonna do it, these are the guys to do it.
Well, I'm thinking they're literally throwing everything into this. Like, it might and it might not be, but it might be the only time that they do this. So let's get everyone we can in, and let's not be naive to think that it's not just a money grab too. Like,
I don't think they're doing like a
ceremony. They have to be, right? I mean, if GCW did an Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor definitely has to be doing something.
Like, you would think that these guys would probably come in and just make a speech or send a video or something. Like, they got to be involved somehow. No,
I feel like it's got to be a whole thing. It's got to be a production, right?
Well, I don't think they're going to do like a WWE thing, but I think
I have heard the only thing they've been doing is they've been announcing these guys as going into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, and then the following Monday they've been showing the Ring of Honor TV has just been a special episode dedicated to said wrestler with some of the greatest matches.
Okay.
And then a special Hall of Fame episode of Ring of Honor Wrestling featuring all the inductees airs on TV the weekend of March 5th. But nowhere in this have I seen anything that says there's going to be a ceremony.
Okay. I stand corrected.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's all I have for Ring of Honor. And then I just want to do a quick New Japan one before we get to Kevin's top five. And then we do down the aisle. New Japan had their the first really big set of shows that took place after Wrestle Kingdom. We have new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions as Master Wato and Taguchi beat El Fantasmo. Yes, I made the same face as you, Tony, and I'm disgusted. They are the 69th tag team champions, and that's all that Taguchi wanted to be, was the 69th IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. They took the titles off of Robbie Eagles, and holy shit, who was Robbie Eagles' partner?
Chase Owens, El Fantasmo.
I was going to say Fantasmo.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Taichi?
Brain farts for days.
I have it in here.
Rocky Jesus Romero. Christ.
Chase.
Juice. It was Tiger Mask.
Tiger. There you go.
Oh, okay.
It was a four-way match with those guys, El Desperado, Kanemura, and Ishimori and El Fantasmo. Also on the same show, Sonata has finally captured his first singles title in New Japan as he beat Hiroshi Tanahashi.
How did you feel that was received, Matt? I heard like a lot of people were shitting on like no charisma Sonata.
I love Sonata.
I agree.
I love Sonata. I don't know. I can't speak. Look, if you're like a Tanahashi guy and you're like playing the fucking air guitar and throwing up his thing, like, but man, give me Cold Skull all day. Yeah. Like he can go. There's very few moments in the last like 10 years that we've been doing this podcast where I've literally jumped out of my chair. When Jinder Mahal won the title and we were recording at the apartment and I fucking popped huge.
You popped. I don't remember this, but
yeah, it was on air. We went fucking nuts. I went nuts.
Did I go nuts?
No, I don't think you did. and then I was watching when he beat, when Sonata beat Okada in the G1, I thought the storytelling was beautiful. I've always been a huge Sonata guy, but he never gets over the hump. And I think this is
if I remember correctly, I think a lot of us picked Sonata a lot to win. He had his title opportunities, right?
He's had tons of title opportunities. And we picked him to win the New Japan Cup, which is another one of my three counts. But I love the guy. I think this is awesome. They really told the story like him and Okada are the same age. Like, I don't know what road we're going down, but Tanahashi's like, wins don't fucking matter to Tanahashi. Like,
yeah,
he's a legend. He's a legend in New Japan. And maybe he's going to have a good New Japan Cup. Also on this mat, the second night.
I love when you start laughing before you talk.
So night one saw Sonata win and this tag match. Night two saw Naito unsuccessfully challenge Okada, which was a phenomenal match. It also saw Suzuki wrestle Toriano for the King of Pro Wrestling championship. It was a dog cage match.
Wait, Minoru Suzuki?
He was the champion.
He was
against Toriano in a dog cage match. And the you have to see, it's fucking ridiculous. You have to see it to believe it. The point of the match is to lock your opponent in a dog cage.
All right.
And Yano successfully locked Minoru Suzuki in a dog cage.
No comment.
And Minoru Suzuki was not happy.
That guy's never fucking happy. What are you talking about?
They announced the 50th anniversary show. It is loaded to the gills. They didn't do the traditional route where it would be the champion against the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So you would think they hinted at it night one, Okada versus El Desperado, but they're not doing that. They're doing Okada, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Fujinami against Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Yoshihaki Fujiwara. So they're really going big with this 50th anniversary show.
Big time.
They also announced that this year's New Japan Cup will have 48 participants.
Wait, what?
Yes.
How many is it usually?
32, yes.
48?
48.
I guess it's going to be over a series of shows then.
Oh, yes. It runs from March 2nd to March 27th.
Now, will any of these be stateside?
No, this is all New Japan.
Okay. Because New Japan...
Japan, excuse me.
Yes. Because I know New Japan is doing that, if they haven't already done it, that Windy City gimmick
They are doing that. That's coming up in April. But this is strictly Japan. We will see the return of Kota Ibushi.
Ooh.
And he's been out since he dislocated his shoulder in the G1. And we will also get to see SEMA making a singles return here. So there's 16 first round matches and there's 16 buys.
That just, like, when you think about it, like, in like a sports aspect, 16 people get buys. Like,
and I don't know how they, these are the, I'd have to do more research, but I don't know why these are the people who got buys.
All right, let's go.
Minoru Suzuki.
All right.
Tama Tonga.
All right.
Tiger Mask.
Yes, sir.
Tonga Leo.
Leo Leo.
El Fantasma.
Oh, fantastic.
Sonata.
Oh, agree to Sonata.
Doki.
All right, pass.
Doki's fun. I don't know why he gets a buy. He's garbage. Taji Ishimori.
All right, Ishii.
Kosei Fujita.
Not familiar.
Kojima.
All right.
Jado.
Jado.
Bad Luck Fale.
What?
Good luck, Bad Luck.
Yoshinobu Kanemura.
Ah, I love a Kanemura.
Dick to Go.
Take it or leave it.
Tenzan.
Ah, yes.
And NWO. Master Wado.
NWO original Tenzan.
So the first four nights will feature all first round matches. I'm pretty fucking fired up for this, though. So
listen, man, I believe you.
I love a good tournament, and the winner usually gets a title match at their next summer show. They usually set that up, so that'll be fun.
Listen, like, again, wrestling is wrestling, man. If you like what you like, enjoy this, because this is 48. Listen, it just gives us more wrestling. So, goddamn right.
So that was the three count. We're trying to speed things up a little bit around here.
We don't have to do the top five.
Oh no!
No, I think I think the top five might be the way to go out on the show tonight. I think this is the main event, Kev.
No, it's not. Don't build me up because it's not really
a lot
nuts.
Of pressure, bro.
It's not that good. It'll
be good. It'll be good. Left. See you later.
No, you're still here, big guy.
No, I just pulled up the notes page on my thing. All right, so guys, this is Kevin's top five and tonight's top five. It's something that I thought of a little bit a while ago, and I just decided to bring it up today. We are going to do the top five wrestlers who brought props to the ring and then use them as weapons. So you guys are going to have to name the wrestler and the weapon. So, for example, I will not use this guy. He's not on the list. Jimmy Hart brought a megaphone to the list. He's a manager, so he doesn't count. But the megaphone would sometimes come into play to finish a match. So we're basically going with the top five props that were used as weapons to gain an advantage on their opponents. All right, big fart.
No, it was the end of the music. I'm sorry.
Tony, do you want to take the first guess?
Now, this is across all wrestling, or is this a WWE-based thing? Or
I will tell you that. That's a fair, very fair question. There is one WCW and four WWE. So no ECW, no anything else.
Okay, I'll go for the WCW one. I want to say Sting and his baseball bat.
That's a great one that I did not even think of.
We started off good.
Didn't even think of that one, Tony. That would have been up there, though.
All right.
Fair enough. In fact, I even have an honorable mention, and it's not even that.
Fair. At least I didn't get... No, Tony, no.
No, that was... That should have been it. But he didn't really use it in his matches. He used it to intimidate people.
I couldn't think of a spot where he actually used one
in a match to win.
He
didn't really use it.
Can I get a Hacksaw Jib Duggan 4x4?
2x4.
You can get a 2x4, and in fact, it is number two.
Wow, Duggan's number two, huh?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan and his 2x4, number two. Didn't happen often, wasn't a heel move, but it was just to get justification, a lot of disqualifications. So,
fuck. Big Boss Man, Nightstick.
T-Donk, ring that bell. That is number three.
Woo!
On the list. The Big Boss Man and his Nightstick, both as a heel and a babyface. Love that Nightstick.
All right.
There's a WCW one still in play, Matt.
Yeah. He never used it to win matches, so I'm not going
to
guess that.
And they would he would come to the ring.
I want to hear what you were thinking though.
But he would come to the ring though, you're saying, right? Like this is like a
yes, this is something that's something that he brings to the ring. Uses it. Yeah, you kind of assumed it was going to be a weapon, but you never really knew until he actually used it.
All right. So Beefcake's shears are not on the list.
They're not on the list. I thought about that because he never actually used those to stab anybody.
Steve Blackman's nunchucks.
No.
Okay.
They're not even in consideration.
Matt's favorite Mountie, the cattle prod.
T-Donk, ring the bell. Number four, the Mountie's shock stick.
Yep.
With the duct tape over it on the top. Yes, that's number four. So the Mountie's shock stick is number four. Big Boss Man's nightstick is number three. Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 is number two. And the other two, one is WCW. One is actually both WWE and WCW.
Oh.
Because he did it both in both places.
A little hint there, Matt.
Can I get La Parka, the chairman?
All right. So, Matt, I thought about this.
Thought about it.
But because the chair is like, why else would you bring a chair to the ring unless you were going to use it? It had not, like, it just wasn't like there. Like, I thought about it, but no, it was not.
Oh, there. I just got number one. The model, Rick Martel, arrogance.
Matt, I mean, Tony. That was the honorable mention. Because what other storylines did he really use that in other than Jake the Snake?
Yeah, but he sprayed a few people.
Oh, I know he did. And that's why it was honorable mention. It's literally like I have the top five and then literally below it's Rick Martel arrogance.
IRS's briefcase?
All right. So, Matt, you're right on the object. But you're wrong on the performer.
Ooh. Who else?
Go ahead, Tony.
You wouldn't go Adrian Adonis pre-adorable, would you?
No, what are you talking about?
All right, there you go. That's the Kevin I was expecting.
Let's go. And this is the WCW one.
Oh.
Right object, wrong wrestler, WCW. Come on. Come on. You don't have to just stick to this one.
And you said IRS, right? Like that was the
He said IRS, yes.
Yeah.
Not IRS.
No.
It's the same.
It wasn't somebody like Terry Taylor or somebody involved in the York Foundation.
This is Monday Night Wars Hot Nitro era.
Matt got it.
Mongo!
Steve Mongo McMichael with the Halliburton. Number five.
All right, oh, shit. Number one was both in WCW and WWF.
Yes. And multiple people have used this gimmick, but this, I think, is the top one. And actually, we mentioned him on the show today.
Ooh. Oh, Austin Theory.
Yes, former guest of the show, Austin Derry. I'm positive we had him on. I'm telling you, we did.
Damn.
We mentioned him today.
Very briefly.
Gimmick on the...
A lot of people... Oh, fuck! Number one, Mr. fucking Gold Pyramid himself, Jeff Jarrett and the guitar.
Matt, are you okay with me awarding this to Tony?
Of course I am!
Because it is number one, Jeff Jarrett and the guitar. I was going back and forth between him and Honky Tonk Man, but I think Jeff Jarrett used it way more.
Jeff Jarrett like fucking institutionalized the use of the guitar.
Yeah, so there it is. All right, so I'll run it back for all of you people listening on social media world. Number five was Steve Mongo McMichael with the Halliburton. Number four was the Mountie with the shock stick. Number three was the Big Boss Man and that nightstick. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, ho, with the 2x4. Number one, Jeff Jarrett, JARRET. Jeff Jarrett with that guitar, wrestlers and their props that ended up being weapons. Honorable mention, Rick Martel with Arrogance.
Hey, this is Moose.
Sorry. Oh, thanks, Moose.
Sorry about that.
Hey, this is Moose.
Nah, I love Moose. Great to have him by. I had a great match with Big Cass, too. Actually, that was a sloppy match, actually. A lot of sloppy stuff, but anyway.
All right. I know we're running a little long. I want to run a trial here with this down the aisle.
I'm in.
All right.
Trial with the aisle, baby.
A new segment we're going to do, and this is based off of Tony's idea and kind of what we are good at, where we just kind of, me and Kevin kind of did it on the Super Bowl 4 episode. So if you are not a Patreon and you want to check it out, please, it's at the $3 tier, where we kind of start one way with a conversation, and we just kind of go down the aisle, down the rabbit hole, and man, we started with like Terry Taylor and Jungle Jim Steele, and we were off and running.
Max Payne.
Yeah, Max Payne. So what I did here, I just kind of threw in, and we did not, this is not something we've done beforehand. There was no post-show meeting.
I have no idea what's about to happen.
I pulled up a UWF card from March of 1986.
this is bad already.
Yeah, this is the one you want to jump off with.
You know what, though? It's really not. So I'm going to go down the card. I don't think any of us have ever seen this event, but that's not the point of this section here. Okay, like this is what they gave you if you were in Springfield, Missouri on March 5th, 1986. Brett Wayne Sawyer.
All right.
He wrestled Gustavo Mendoza.
Mendoza!
Tracy Smothers took on Blade Runner Sting.
Ooh!
Now that's a match I will have to go back and try to find.
Steve Williams, Dr. Death, took on Blade Runner Rock.
Oh!
Which is...
Fuck!
The Ultimate Warrior.
Dude!
Hulk Hogan.
Dr. Death against a very young warrior? Oh, dude, my
God. Dr. Death probably beat the shit out of him.
Probably. Probably.
Now, if you thought Brett Wayne Sawyer was Buzz Sawyer, you're incorrect, because Buzz Sawyer was the UWF television champion, and he defeated David Peterson.
Yes, the very world-renowned David Peterson. Sounds like a referee's name. Did he fight a referee?
Wasn't that the trooper, or am I thinking of another Peterson?
You are thinking of another Peterson. This feller passed away in 1993.
R.I.P.
From Motor Ran Dunfall?
Motor Ran Dunfall? What is that?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Motor Ran Dunfall!
DJ Ran? The DJ from
Night. Yeah, the motor ran, then it Dunfall, and he died.
That motorboat and son of a bitch.
I forgot. But this, it's a German website, so...
No.
Oh, Schleusenfreuzen.
Coco Beware defeated Eddie Gilbert by DQ.
Okay.
All right. That's a great match, probably.
Jack Victory defeated Terry Taylor.
All right. Holy so, Matt, shit. Talk me through the career of Jack Victory. Because I only know him from...
He wound up in a wheelchair in ECW.
That's all I remember him from, is ECW with Rhino and Steve Corino.
Jack Victory, former guest on The Shining Wizards.
Yeah. Yes. The same show as Austin Theory, I believe.
I want to say
Jack Victory was big in Japan, wasn't he? Didn't he wrestle in All Japan?
He did a lot of stuff in Mid-South.
Yeah, but I thought he made a name for himself in Japan too for a while.
Was he
type?
Yes, because I think. Yep.
Yep.
Never guessed. Jack Victory was on the show with somebody else. Our show.
I know who it was. Ah, it wasn't MJF because that was PJ. But it was someone good, I think.
It was someone good.
Well, you know what I mean. Like
it's a wrestling legend.
Oh,
Jack Victory. Tony, go.
It wasn't Bobby Fulton, was it? It
wasn't. It's one of your favorite liners.
So this could be now wrestling legend. Now is taking a different term because a favorite was it Frank Sonny? No. Hawkins? No, that's not one of Tony's favorites.
He's a legit wrestling legend.
Steamboat?
No, you're getting closer though.
Think about your favorite liners.
Raven?
No. You laugh every time.
Tugboat?
No.
I laugh Tino, or he laughs?
Tino Santana?
Both of you laugh.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah!
There were some good ones.
Ted DiBiase.
We talked to Ted DiBiase and Jack Victory on the same show.
We did.
Well, you guys did.
That was an apartment vehicle, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I think it was Halloween, too.
Look at that.
Jack Victory spent a shitload of time in Mid-South wrestling. Like a lot of time. He was doing a lot of jobs. Teaming with fucking Jake Roberts against the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, my God.
Kelly Kinski,
maybe?
Kinski, yeah.
There you go.
He was on
Gene Kinski's son.
He did a lot of jobs in Mid-South. And then, we're super familiar with him from his stuff in ECW.
In a wheelchair.
He did a lot of stuff in the NWA. But he was just like a job guy, man.
Yeah.
Losing the missing link. Oh no, he was the world class TV champion, and he lost it to Mark Youngblood.
Ooh,
one of the Youngbloods, Mark and Jay.
But he took it from Dave Peterson.
Oh, fucking world renowned Dave Peterson,
the esteemed referee, Dave Peterson,
who just so happened to be on that UWF show, which I have to get back to now.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
Ah, fuck. Okay, hold on. UWF. Sorry.
By the way, while Matt's doing sorry, Big Bang was this weekend. Sirius Sports Entertainment. Our girl Jazzy Gabert over in Germany.
Oh, that's right.
What a fucking weird show, dude. This was her baby. This was like all of her, like her conception. And yo, they had fucking like they had cabaret dancers. They had like a metal band playing some metal music. A couple of the wrestlers came out, started jamming with them. Yo, it was all over the place. It was their first like real like foray. So it needs a little bit of tweaking, but I liked her vision. I like where she was going with it. So big props to Jazzy.
So it was more of like a variety show with wrestling as opposed to.
Yeah, not a lot.
Or was it a wrestling show with a little bit of pizzazz?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. And some of the talent on there was really actually Joey Legend. Former legend of the
Joe E. Legend.
Yes. Just Joe. He was in the main event. He wound up losing in his chance to become the first Sirius Sports Entertainment world champion. He lost to Tarkan Aslan.
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
Great talent, by the way.
I believe he teamed with David Peterson at some point.
Of course he did. Yeah. Of course. There was a lot of good talent on the show. Some of them were a little rough. Some of them like could use a little refining, but overall I enjoyed it, man. For something different. It was cool.
God bless her. God bless Jazzy, man. Just doing what she just, pursuing the passion project for all these people out in Germany. If there's wrestling all over the world, support it.
All right. I got myself back to where I needed to be. Here's your fun fact. He wrestled under the mask as the Super Destroyer and lost to Steve Williams in under 2 minutes at NWA Clash of the Champions 9.
Is this David Peterson?
No, Jack Victory. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jack Victory. Yes.
So Jack didn't get the victory.
All right. He also spent some time as the Russian Assassin.
A lot of people
are you an assassin, Jack Victory?
Number two, in 1989, NWA WCW.
Oh, God, why don't I remember this?
Because he was under a mask, Kev.
Oh. All right, story checks out.
Fucking weird. Man, could you imagine going to a fucking house show? Rick Steiner, your world TV champion, taking on the Russian assassin? Oh, sorry.
I thought that was a drop.
tag team title match featured the Fantastics defeating the Sheepherders.
Oh, that's a blood feud right there.
I like that.
The Fantastics and the Sheepherders beat the shit out of each other.
Dude, the Sheepherders beat the shit out of everybody.
But that was a rough ass feud, dude. Stan Lane, Steve Kern. Yeah. Wait, that was the Fantastics.
No. The Fantastics are Bobby Fulton
and Tommy Rogers. Tommy Rogers. Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
Here's an embarrassing thing. I did not realize that the Sheepherders were the Bushwhackers until like 1997.
All right. That's not fair enough. That's not bad because a lot of people didn't realize the Bushwhackers were the Sheepherders.
Like, yeah. Well, they completely like.
Yeah. didn't know who the sheep herders were.
No, they did a complete like 180. They were doing fucking like death matches.
Yeah, like forks and people's forks, like Abdullah the Butcher type shit.
Yeah, and they show up, they lick your head. It's not weird.
Yeah, well, they were all carved up when they showed up. I just thought they were ugly. I didn't realize they were just fucking slicing each other up.
Dude, tell me somebody, a team that was so hated and so loved. And actually, Luke and Butch weren't the original sheep herders. There was somebody else before them. And then Luke and Butch came and took it over. So there's a little nugget for you.
Ooh, there. Like a butt nugget.
All right, if that helps you.
No, it doesn't help us. A butt nugget.
We have so many great names for the show. Like, it's just ridiculous right now. It's
butt nugget.
Butt nugget. It's like a, like those old McDonald's commercials with like the chicken nuggets. You dip it. Butt nugget. No, Hot Pocket. Butt nugget.
I dropped my butt nugget.
Butt nuggets.
So
Matt, yeah, don't think too hard, brother.
So Butch and Luke are the originals. And then at some point there was a Jonathan Boyd.
Yes, that's what I meant.
And there was a Rip Morgan.
Who? Jonathan Boyd is who I was thinking of.
Ready? This is why this concept that Tony wanted to do works so well. Rip Morgan.
Butt Nugget Morgan.
ended up teaming with Jack Victory in WCW.
Get out of here!
They were known as the New Zealand Militia.
All right. Oh, jeez. Wait, so was that in a Crockett Cup? Was that in a Crockett Cup?
So I think what I was thinking of was Jack Victory was the manager of the sheep herders.
And he was for a short time.
That's what I was thinking of. And that's crazy how that ties in together.
Butt nuggets.
They were not in the Crockett Cup. They were not in the Crockett Cup, Tony. They were in the NWA World Tag Team Championship Tournament where they faced and lost to the Dynamic Dudes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Johnny Ace. Also a former flag bearer for the sheep herders.
Hey, Butch and hey, Luca, we're going to have to let you go.
Hey,
we
got nothing for you.
We got nothing for you to do. Maybe you can go lick some heads in Memphis.
How about this? They spent their summer feuding with the Dynamic Dudes and the WCW repackaged them as the Royal Family. Rip Morgan became Ripper Morgan, and Jack Victory became Jack O'Victory.
Jack-O-Lantern? I don't remember any of this.
And they added the manager, Lord Littlebrook, to the group.
Isn't Lord Littlebrook the short person wrestler?
Yes.
The midget, oh!
Hey, by the big, yay! What do you got to do? What do you hear? What do you say?
I'm doing a Gito now.
And then they were put into the WCW United States Tag Team Championship Tournament, losing to Brian Pillman and Tom Zink in the first round, who went on to win said tournament.
Wow.
Wow.
Bro, they were there till 1993, apparently.
Who was?
This New Zealand Militia Royal Family.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't either.
And we literally watched, like, for our watch-along, we watched WCW in his era all the time.
Their last significant, I guess they were paid until 1993, but their last significant appearance in WCW, fucking A, was April 28th, 1991, where they teamed up with Black Bart to unsuccessfully challenge the team of Junkyard Dog, Ricky Morton, and Tommy Rich, who were the WCW six-man tag team champions at the time.
Yeah, Robert Gibson was out. I remember that. I remember Tommy Rich teaming with Ricky Morton, for sure.
God, they were like a tag team that just... They were just... So they leave WCW. My apologies. They were not there till 93. They were there until 91.
Okay.
This weird tag team of Rip Morgan and Jack Victory go to the GWF. Global Wrestling Federation, and now they're the Maulers again.
The Maulers! I know the Maulers.
Again, they're in another tag team tournament. This time, they lose in the first round to the tag team of Wet and Wild, which was Steve Ray
and Chaz
and Sonny Beach.
Sonny Beach.
Oh my God!
That's a legend right there, Sonny Beach.
Did I ever tell you the time I ran into Sonny Beach and I mistook him for Fred Ottman?
You did not.
I did this in front of Andrew Anderson at the fucking thing in Queens when I went to go meet Bruno. And I I called him Uncle Fred.
You called Andrew Sonny Anderson, Beach Uncle
and he
Fred?
Goes, "No, that's Sonny Beach. That's not Tugboat." And he just started laughing like Matt laughs when somebody fucks up in front of him.
I don't know how you could have ever mistaken the two.
Dude, I don't know, man. I was all fucked up. I was excited to meet Bruno, and I fucking thought Sonny Beach was fucking Tugboat, brother.
Tugboat has been on our show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so... How do you not know who Tugboat?
I was confused. I got confused.
Wow, Sonny Beach.
That's like a indie legend. That's a New Jersey, Florida indie legend.
And I mistook him for fucking Uncle Fred.
Who's another legend. Of course. Who we still have to get back on to talk about Sopranos.
Okay.
And then back on this UWF show, right? Jib Duggan.
Jib.
He was the North American champion. He defeats Karista Korchenko, who was...
God bless you.
Yeah, big time.
Was nobody we would know.
And that was the big North American belt, wasn't it?
Is it worse than the current North American belt?
Yes.
Oh, that it was huge, that belt. Google it when you get a chance.
Your main event was, of course, a bunkhouse battle royal won by none other than... Terry Taylor.
God, really?
Man, remember how we butchered Terry Taylor on the bonus show?
Dude, his career is fucking weird.
The rooster killed his career. It did. Just did.
And it's a shame because that's all like my first memories of him are the fucking Red Rooster. But then you hear people talk about his Mid-South run, and apparently he was like one of the best, right?
Yeah. Great talent, and he still was a good talent. He still like he beat DDP on that show that we talked about in 93 or 94. Just no one gave a shit about Terry Taylor. All right, Tony, that's like we have to have a burp
button
clock for T-Donk.
Sorry, I had Taco Bell earlier today for lunch, and it's still coming back to haunt me.
Oh, God bless you.
Oof, thank you. All right, are we done with the rabbit hole? I'm fucking tired, dude. I'm serious.
So essentially, down the aisle, and this will it'll evolve into not every week, but a couple weeks. We'll do something essentially just like that, where we kind of go down said rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Or down the aisle.
Yeah, down the aisle. Excuse me, down the aisle, and you know, you'll see where it gets us, right?
Yeah, dude. This was probably the most fun that I've had. Like this show is incredible.
Yeah, I think going forward, and we didn't really talk about this super much, but I think going forward, I think we're kind of gonna maybe there's so much wrestling, and it's so hard for us to cover everything that happened in the last week every Monday night. So I think we're gonna try and go back to our roots where we talk about a couple things here and there, and then kind of have fun like that, where we go down the aisle and just be ourselves and do what we know best, and that's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling
and being dicks.
And being dicks.
Not super dicks. Dicks.
Hey, speak for yourself. If I'm getting dick, I'm getting a super dick.
You're getting a super dick. You're getting a foot long.
Next week, we have two guests. It'll be the last two-guest show for a while. Kid Bandit.
Miko Maestro and...
and Dan Moff.
It's going to be actually Kid Bandit, who was... he's featured on AEW Dark, AEW Dark Elevation. He was trending a couple weeks ago. And Steve Monster Mac. Mac is celebrating an anniversary, I think 15, 20 years in the wrestling business. So that's next week, March 7th, Carl Fredericks from the New Japan LA Dojo, New Japan professional wrestler. He'll be joining us on the 7th. And
that's a big get, Matt.
We got a lot more lined up. We're working on March Hardcore. We're working on these three counts and this down the aisle, Kevin's top five. We're bringing back Can You Beat That? We might do an open challenge. So a lot of spoons in the porridge, as I like to say.
Revamping. We're reinventing the wheel.
Yeah. Trying to update ourselves.
That's
fuck
right.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff you can listen to, and we just think that you guys listen to us. So thank you.
And if this is your first time listening to us, follow us all forms of social media at Wizards Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitch TV. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theshiningwizards. I think we're like right there. We're on the cusp of 199 subscriptions or subscribers. So if you could be that 200th, we would give you internet high five.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I will give you this Shining Wizards bottle opener.
In your hiney.
And in your right in your butt.
So we'll be back next week. Episode 374 is next week.
574.
Jesus,
dude.
I butt fumbled that too last week. I thought it was 572 or 573. I didn't know.
Butt fumble. Matt's, well, this has been Matt's special bag, as our guest tonight, Miko Maestro, put it. Anything else you guys want to say before we sign off of this wonderful broadcast?
Just follow us on all of our social media at Wizards Podcast on Instagram, on Twitter. Follow Matt, follow Tony on your individual platforms because we always share. We always share whatever we post on there. So just do it. We thank you and we appreciate you. Rock on. That's it. That was weird. Sorry.
I liked it.
All right.
Go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead. What? Good.